true, and they thought their country gave that right to them and me and you. Now one night back in England, one of these babes brought up a beef about how she wasn't to be witched with her commander-in-chief. Some folks did not appreciate how she denounced their man. These patriots rolled up their sleeves and took matters in hand.
Let's meet all the Dixie chicks. We're too nice to use rocks and sticks. So let's demolish their CDs with a bulldozer or whatever you please.
If this reminds you a little bit of bonfires in Berlin, well, cowboy, that just goes to prove it can always happen again.
News Service.
This is Don Waller in New York. Prosecutors investigating whether someone in the Bush administration improperly disclosed the identity of a CIA officer have expanded their inquiry to examine whether White House officials lied to investigators or mishandled classified information related to the case, lawyers involved in the case, and government officials say. The broadened scope is a potentially significant development that represents exactly what allies of the Bush White House feared when Attorney General John Ashcroft removed himself from the case last December and turned it over to Patrick Fitzgerald, the United States Attorney in Chicago. Republican lawyers worry that the leak case in the hands of an aggressive prosecutor might grow into an unwieldy, time-consuming, and politically charged inquiry like the sprawling independent counsel inquiries of the 90s, which distracted and damaged the Clinton administration. The commission investigating the September 11th attacks said on Thursday that it was pressing the White House to explain why the Bush administration had blocked thousands of pages of classified foreign policy and counterterrorism documents from former President Bill Clinton's White House files from being turned over to the panel's investigators. The commission and the White House were reacting to public complaints from former aides to Mr. Clinton, who said they had been surprised to learn in recent months that three-quarters of the nearly 11,000 pages of files the former president was ready to offer the commission had been withheld by the Bush administration. A report released by a House committee on Thursday describes how the Bush administration worked with the United States chemical industry to undermine a European plan that would require all manufacturers to test industrial chemicals for their effect on public health before they were sold in Europe. The administration said publicly that the proposal last year would threaten the $20 billion in chemicals that the United States exports to Europe each year because the cost of testing would be prohibitive. Behind the scenes, the administration was working with the chemical industry to devise a plan to undermine the proposal, according to email messages and documents released in the report. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A hamster named Teddy sparked a police rescue mission after he climbed inside a computer printer and got stuck because he was too fat to get out again, authorities said Wednesday. Contrary to his normal habits, Teddy climbed inside a PC printer and was unable to get out because of his corpulence, police in the northern city of Flensburg, Germany, said in a statement, adding that they initially thought it was an April Fool's joke. Luckily for Teddy, a neighbor of his owner managed to free the hamster, so the arriving police officer was spared the task. This is Don Waller in New York.
Minuteman Newsbreak is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
The Bushites seem to enjoy the fun game of preemptive regime change, in which they shout weapons of mass destruction before attacking a country with the full might of the U.S. military, tossing out the old leaders, installing some new ones, occupying the country, and calling this democracy. Now, however, they are saying that regime change need not be limited to nations that might pose some military threat to our country. For the past couple of years, these messianic global manipulators have quietly been out to topple Hugo Chavez, the duly elected president of Venezuela. What threat does Chavez pose to us? None. Zero. Zip. What's his crime? He's too lefty, not beholden to the oil giants operating in Venezuela, not properly obedient to U.S. power, and worst of all, the Bushites just don't like him. So they've been scheming with Venezuelan elites to oust him. They exulted in 2002 when an armed coup overthrew Chavez's elected government, but White House elation turned to sour grapes only 2 days later when the coup turned out to be a Keystone Cops effort and the people of Venezuela rallied to put their man Chavez back in his presidency. But this didn't stop the White House. Reams of internal documents have now surfaced showing a startling effort by the Bushites to undermine the legitimate government of Venezuela, a blatantly anti-democratic effort that, ironically, they rationalize by asserting that Chavez is not democratic enough to suit them. Last year alone, they funneled $1 million of our tax dollars into opposition groups seeking to overthrow Chavez and install Venezuela's moneyed class in power. One of the Bushites' documents claims that the future of Venezuelan democracy, quote, depends on the rebuilding of healthy and responsive political parties that can effectively channel citizen demands. This is Jim Hightower saying, hey, let's try to accomplish that here. If our own government reflected citizen demands, it wouldn't be messing with Venezuela.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
When you're the voice of reason, very few things get you excited. So you wouldn't expect something like a good price on a great copier to be one of them. But when the subject is a Xerox digital copier that delivers 35 quality pages a minute for a surprisingly low lease price of $134 a month and is so advanced it can be upgraded to scan, fax, and even email, well, that's enough to even make the voice of reason pick up the phone.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And happy Friday! Shabbat Shalom, TGIF, whatever it is for you. It's the end of the week here, Friday, April 2nd. We made it past April Fool's Day. Intact! Boy, this administration, absolutely remarkable. The administration is like, they let nothing slide by without figuring out a way to spin it. Here at David Letterman earlier in the week runs this clip of this kid snoozing off as George Bush is giving a speech, and boom! You got Walt Blitzer. Yeah, well, it was Darren Kagan on CNN going, we're being told by the White House that the kid, as funny as he was edited into that video. Say, what? Well, Letterman, you know, he says, this is the real thing. Well, in fact, he says, this is an out-and-out 100% absolute lie. The kid absolutely was there, and he absolutely was doing everything we pictured in the videotape. Very interesting. And that, yeah, this Paul Krugman writes about this in the New York Times today. But it's a trend almost. You know, he talks about how Wolf Blitzer. I mean, they're trying to smear Richard Clark. Of course, the Wall Street Journal today in their editorial page. Another. We found 4 details in his book that aren't exactly right. Therefore, you can ignore all that stuff that he said that is right. I mean, that's the main thesis, the main shtick that they've got. And here Wolf Blitzer said, and I quote, "What administration officials have been saying since the weekend, basically, that Richard Clark, from their vantage point, was a disgruntled former government official, angry because he didn't get a certain promotion. He's got a hot new book out he wants to promote. He wants to make a few bucks. And this is where it gets weird. And that his own personal life, they're also suggesting there are some weird aspects in his life," end quote. So who at the White House is feeding this to Wolf Blitzer? Well, Wolf isn't sane. And neither is Darren Kagan. And she's not sane either. Remarkable. It's the story. And did you see the story in the paper today? The news. The investigators who are looking into who at the White House committed treason by outing an entire CIA operation. I mean, there was this entire phony corporation. I mean, it was a real corporation. It had offices all over the world. They were purporting, apparently, to make available to people weapons. The weapons are us, right? You can buy stuff. It was a CIA sting operation looking for terrorists. This was a key part of the Central Intelligence Agency's counterterrorism project. And so if some terrorist in Tunisia goes to the local office of this corporation and says, "Yeah, I'd like to buy," they know who he is. Well, the terrorist in Tunisia also knows who the guy is who's running the office in Tunisia, or wherever it happens to be. See, they haven't declassified all the details of this, just the broad strokes of it. But so once the operation gets brought down, then all of these branch offices all around the world, they are not only are they out of business, but all of those agents are at risk, as was Valerie Plame. Well, they're expanding the inquiry now, and it's got the Republicans very nervous. Very nervous. This could be the whitewater. It got out of the hands of Congress. So Tom DeLay and Bill Frist can't just, put their hands around the throat of this thing and just squeeze it until it stops breathing. They instead are going to have to sit back and see. Ashcroft recused himself. Interesting. And so they've got this independent prosecutor going after it. And George Bush, of course, he's very concerned about this. Very, very concerned that a senior administration official might have committed a crime for which one of the penalties is death by firing squad. He's very concerned. Of course, as you probably well know, he had this to say.
And I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official... Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah. And anyway, moving along, Ahmed Chalabi. This, I thought it was interesting to actually find this in the Mooney paper, the official Mooney paper, the Washington Times. In fact, the White House has just appointed a Mooney to a senior position. We'll get to that a little later in the program. Fascinating stuff. About the relationship, the money relationship, and the power relationship between Reverend Moon, who claims that he is the new incarnation of Jesus Christ here to fulfill the mission that Jesus, according to Reverend Moon, failed to complete 2,000 years ago, between Reverend Moon and George Bush and the Bush administration, and also Jerry Falwell. Reverend Moon has loaned millions of dollars to Reverend Falwell, bailed him out. But anyhow, in the Mooney paper, the Washington Times here, this article about Ahmed Chalabi, our guy. This guy is still getting $750,000 every single month from the Defense Department in exchange for intelligence. It was his Iraqi National Congress, the INC, which he created, which came up with the... quote, defectors, end quote, who gave the Office of Special Plans, this little, dark hole under, in the office next door to Don Rumsfeld, this off-the-shelf operation that Rumsfeld put together that, you know, to cook intelligence, basically, and feed it to the world. I mean, this is incredible. Anyhow, Shalaby was the main feeder of this stuff, and we're still paying him $333,000 a month in salary for this. And a little bit of a backgrounder here in the Washington Times. Who is this guy? Well, first of all, he's received $40 million since 1994 from the U.S. government for his, the $40 million the Iraqi National Congress has received since 1994, this Washington Times article by Arnaud de Bourgrave, I don't know how he pronounces it. Anyhow, the $40 million the Iraqi National Congress has received since 1994 from the U.S. government also covered the expenses of Iraqi military defectors' stories about weapons of mass destruction and the Iraq's regime's link with al-Qaeda, which provided President Bush with a casus belli for the war on Iraq. Now, that in and of itself, you would think, would be enough to say, hey, this is the guy who set up the operation that lied to us. And as a result of those lies, 600 of our young men and women are now dead. And we find out today that the Pentagon says there have been 12,000 medical evacuations from Iraq. Well, that's only the beginning of the story. You ever hear of the Petra Bank, P-E-T-R-A, Petra Bank? It was a bank that was started in the 1980s in Jordan, the nation of Jordan, Amman, the capital city. And Crown Prince Hassan, who is, you know, like one of the sons of former King Hussein of Jordan, was one of the first beneficiaries of this bank. He received $20 million in loans. Kind of nice, you know, walk into a bank, say, hey, I'd like $20 million. No problem, here you go. And turns out he never had to pay them back. Well, the Petra Bank was started by Ahmed Shalaby. And right around 1990, it went bankrupt. Left people holding the bag to the tune of $300 million. And the folks in Jordan were not pleased with this. In fact, as this article, Shalaby poised to lead Iraq. This is our guy. This is the guy who's going to be the prime minister of Iraq, right? After Petra went belly up with a loss of $300 million at the end of the decade, Mr. Shalaby escaped to Syria in a car supplied by the Crown Prince. This is the guy that he'd loaned $20 million to. Minutes ahead of the officers who had come to arrest him for embezzling from his own bank. Now, what did he do with all that money that he embezzled from the Petra Bank after he fled Jordan, where, by the way, he was sentenced in absentia to 22 years of hard labor for bank fraud? And it still stands. We're fixing to install as the Prime Minister of Iraq a guy who, if he steps foot in Jordan, has to go to prison for 22 years hard labor. Well, what did he do with the money that he embezzled from his own bank? He started the Iraqi National Congress a few days later in Syria. And then he ended up here feeding information. Now, why is it, do you think, that this administration lets this guy get away with this? Why would it be that Donald Rumsfeld would set up a special office to let this guy get away with this? Could it be that maybe Ahmed Shalaby has some information about Donald Rumsfeld, like back in the 1980s when Rumsfeld showed up in Iraq shaking hands with Saddam Hussein and was selling him the gas that was used against the Kurds? Could it be that Shalaby was pretty smart? I mean, actually, his defectors, even if they didn't know where the weapons of mass destruction were, they did know where the dirt was, so to speak. And so as soon as he came into Iraq, what did he do? Well, while we were busy securing oil fields, he seized, to quote the Washington Times, several dozen tons of documents and individual files from Saddam Hussein's secret security apparatus. In fact, they note, Mr. Chalabi may hold the ultimate weapon. And they go on to say, potentially embarrassing for prominent U.S. citizens, Mr. Chalabi's aides hint his treasure grove of documents includes names of American agents of influence. It's pretty remarkable. Former U.S. ambassador made the comment, anyone who can get the U.S. to invade Iraq must be a very clever politician. As for the people his INC coached in London to disinform the U.S. intelligence community about Saddam's non-existent weapons of mass destruction, you got to hand it to the guy. Yeah, well, that's what we're about to do. We're going to hand him the country. First he robs a bank, now he robs us, now he's robbing Iraq. Welcome to the wonderful world of the Bush administration. Tom Hartman with you, 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. New analysis from researchers at the University of California at Berkeley portend a troublesome future for workers in Silicon Valley. They predict 1 in 6 current high-tech jobs in the Valley could be sent overseas in the coming years. For the total U.S. workforce, the risk of being outsourced is 1 in 10. They also forecast a rise in offshoring for more clerical-type work, like jobs involving paralegal skills or the processing of medical and insurance claims.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order 2 bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get 2 bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive 2 free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available at bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
If British researchers in continuing education did their math correctly, those who enter the workforce 20 years from now can expect to work in 19 different jobs over their lifetime. Not only that, the number of people working 2 or more jobs is expected to double by 2025. Those projections are heavily influenced by 2 factors, a rising life expectancy coupled with underfunded pensions and individual retirement savings.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at 2 of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis Digilink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the pro version with traffic interference.
interface and only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Oh, I'm just a typical American boy from a typical American town. I believe in God and Senator Dodd, and I keep an old Castro down. And when it came my time to serve, I knew better dead than red. But when I got to my old draft board, buddy, this is what I said. Sarge, I'm only 18, I got a ruptured spleen, and I always carry a purse. I've got eyes like a bat, and my feet are flat, and my asthma's getting worse.
They'll still take you. I'm sorry. I guess Phil Owen, well, I'm not sure. Anyhow, they'll still take you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Tom Hartman with you, 25 minutes past the hour. You're going to hear today a lot of waving and shouting and beating of the chest about how the the job numbers went up, 300,000 more or less in the last month. And isn't that wonderful? I mean, I would love it if this economy would recover. It might not be the best thing for the Democrats, just like if, you know, the Republicans were all praying that the economy would go in the toilet during Bill Clinton's time. That's just normal partisan politics. It's got nothing to do with the Democrat or Republican. The party on the outside's always going, you know, gee, I hope the party on the inside screws up. As I said, that's just normal. But nonetheless, in the interests of America, in the interest of people having jobs, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if this 320,000, I think is the actual number, of jobs that are reported is like some really solid thing? I guarantee you it's going to be presented as that. And the interesting take on it, first of all, the household survey, which is the one the conservatives have been pointing to recently because it's been showing jobs going up when the main Treasury numbers have been showing them going down. According to the household survey, we lost 3,200 jobs last month. But setting aside that, because the household survey really isn't as accurate, we actually, you know, probably did actually gain these jobs. And here are some details. Here are the details that you're not going to get on right-wing talk radio. The number of people looking for work actually last month actually outstripped the number of jobs created. In other words, it grew faster. The civilian unemployment rate went up by 0.1% from 5.6% in February. So actually, unemployment got worse. Yes, some jobs were created, but not as many as there were people entering the labor market looking for jobs. So all the time, people are graduating from college and whatnot. And yes, there are people leaving the labor market as well, but our population has been growing quite a bit in the last 20 years, and so here we are. Number two, the number of unemployed persons grew by 182,000 people. Yes, some jobs were created, but on net, unemployment went up by 182,000 people. Last month, there were 8.17 million people unsuccessfully looking for work in February. In March, this rose to 8.35 million Americans. And here's the kicker. 75% of the jobs that were created last month, are these jobs that everybody's going to be telling you how wonderful it is, 75% of them were service sector jobs. The majority of them were filled by teenagers, the only group whose unemployment rate actually went down last month. The unemployment rate for adult men, adult women, white, black, African-American, all increased. Only the Latino-Hispanic unemployment rate was unchanged. The number of persons working part-time who would like to work full-time increased by 300,000 in the month of March. So more people move from full-time employment to part-time employment and want full-time jobs, or maybe a lot of these jobs that were created were part-time jobs because they count them both now. In Minnesota, for example, the new jobs that were created pay an average of 29% less than the jobs that had left. They actually lost 34,700 jobs. But the new jobs that were created, 29% less pay than the new ones. So now you know the whole story. I mean, you need to put these things in context. Isn't it great we're creating? And see, this was happening, by the way, at the end of the Clinton administration as well. We were creating the good jobs. I mean, they started leaving in droves in the 1980s when Reagan really began this policy, and then Clinton kicked it into high gear with NAFTA and GATT, and then George Bush made the situation even worse. So yeah, we're creating new jobs. Sure enough, for teenagers. 29 minutes past the hour. It's Tom Hartman.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Early this month, MCI finished the overhaul of its books from its WorldCom era, and the damage from the company's fraud-laden collapse in 2002 totals a record $74.4 billion. The restatement completely wipes profits off the books from 2000 onward. MCI attributes more than $14 billion directly to the financial misdeeds of previous executives now facing criminal charges. The rest of its loss, it says, is from depreciation tied to the ongoing slump in the telecom sector as a
pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
4 years ago, the U.S. Department of Energy created a special program to compensate workers at federal nuclear facilities who may have been exposed to health-damaging radiation on the job. 4 years later, with some 22,000 applications for aid received and tens of millions of dollars spent on the system, a little more than 300 workers have received any contact from the Department of Energy, and only one check's been cut. At a Senate Energy Committee hearing this week, it was revealed the private contractor in charge of the nuclear worker compensation program charges twice as much for its services as it would cost the government to do the work itself. At present, the DOE spends $1 million a month on this particular contract.
As the Labor Department prepares to implement rule changes stripping overtime pay for as many as 8 million Americans, Illinois state lawmakers want nothing to do with the plan. The state legislature just sent the governor legislation blocking any changes to federal rules governing overtime pay for white-collar workers. And Wednesday, the AFL-CIO held a protest outside a Bush fundraiser in Washington, D.C. Kathy Stobird is a nurse in Pittsburgh who spoke at the demonstration.
President Bush's policies to end overtime pay will devastate the nursing profession by driving even more nurses out of hospitals, which will ultimately cause a patient care crisis in this country.
The Office of Management and Budget is currently reviewing the Bush administration's final overtime regulations and could approve them any day now.
Turbulent skies again for U.S. Airways. Less than a year out of bankruptcy, airline executives have told the workforce the company may go into Chapter 11 again unless it can cut costs by another $1 billion a year to compete with no-frills airlines. These would be on top of $1 billion a year worth of concessions union employees already committed to as part of the bankruptcy process. U.S. Airways pilots and mechanics unions this week called the proposals unacceptable and may lead a drive to call for the resignation of senior airline management.
Irish workers can breathe a little easier this week now that the government has issued Western Europe's first national ban on all workplace smoking. Pub owners are complaining about lost business due to relocated weddings and conferences, but polls are showing approximately 80% of Irish people support the ban.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. If you hear President Bush tout his federal budget plan for next year as an achievement in his campaign, don't believe the hype. The Economic Policy Institute took a close look at the Bush budget and noted there are numerous funding increases in politically sensitive areas that, if Bush gets another term, are slated to take cuts that will offset their election year windfalls. A good example is the Department of Education. It stands to see a funding gain of more than 2% next year, then would face an average 1% cut in funding for the next four.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
If you've got something to say, why don't you say it? If you've got something to give, why don't you give it to me? Day after day. today I have to say it. We're moving further from heaven and closer to the deep blue sea.
But we can turn around, we can head back. It's Tom Hartman here with you, 26 minutes before the hour. AIDS block Clinton's papers, some 9/11 panel. It gets even weirder and weirder. The 9/11 Commission came to the Bill Clinton folks. You know, they've got their little, library or whatever. You know, their compendium of papers from the Clinton administration. And, it's actually the National Archives. It's not even the Clinton Library. It's the National Archives. And they went to the Clinton administration and they said, why don't you guys go through the National Archives and pull out everything you can find that has to do with the 9/11 investigation that would be useful to us? And the Clinton administration did this and provided that information to the Bush administration. Some, 11,000 pages. The Clinton administration gave, officials of the former Clinton administration gave to the Bush administration to pass along to the 9/11 Commission per request. What did the Bush administration do with it? They deleted three-quarters of them. We're not going to share that stuff. We didn't want this commission in the first place. We didn't want to extend their time. We didn't want Condi to testify. We don't want them to know what's going on. We're not going to give them these papers. Are you kidding? New York Times Today, article by Philip Shannon and David Sanger. Bush aides block Clinton's papers from 9/11 panel. The commission investigating the September 11 attack said on Thursday that it was pressing the White House to explain why the Bush administration had blocked thousands of pages of classified foreign policy and counterterrorism documents from former President Bill Clinton's White House files from being turned over to the panel's investigators. Bruce Lindsay, who was Deputy White House Counsel for the Clinton administration, says, I want to know why there's a 75% difference between what we are ready to produce and what is being produced to the commission. Scott McClellan? And I quote,
we are providing the commission with access to all the information they need to do their job.
End quote. Well said, Scotty. Yes, indeed, it is. It gets weirder and weirder. 1-866-889-8894, the Tom Hartman radio program, and Dave in Humboldt County's on the line. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Tom. I think our country's been fortunate to have had some really wonderful presidents that have acted in the interests of the citizens. And I do believe what has been driving the current administration is the profits of the very rich who put this man in office. And
you don't have to. I mean, it's not. You may believe it. It's also just. I mean, it's obvious.
It is. But apparently not to everybody. Polls still show that he's going to pull a few votes. But I can guess as a certainty that whoever gets installed to be the new government of Iraq is not one who will have blacklisted or blackmailed them, but rather one who will have demonstrated his willingness to play ball and to share the profits with the same group of exploitive war profiteers.
Well, the way to play the game right is to do both, and it sure looks to me like Shalaby's doing both.
Blackmail him and...
I'll give you all kinds of money. I'll take your money. I'll give you the oil. We'll let you, billions of dollars to Halliburton and your contract. We'll make it all happen, and if you cross me, I've got the papers. That's my take on what Shalaby is saying.
Be interesting. I suppose it's possible, but how in the world are we the public, remaining so unenlightened and so stupid through all of this?
Well, I think that, frankly, most people just don't have the time to pay attention to it. I mean, there are some dumb people out there, but by and large, I don't think that they're the ones who show up in the voting booths. I think that we have a lot of people who are just so busy trying to make a living, so desperate to make a living, so concerned about it, that for whatever reason, they don't have the time. They don't bother to inform themselves. It's interesting to me. There are like sports freaks, people who are really into sports, and there are politics freaks. There are people who are really into politics. And at different times in the history of this country, we have had different percentages of the overall populace who are really into politics. I mean, you know, in the early years of the country, everybody was into politics. In the 1830s, 1834, Alexis de Tocqueville came over and he wrote, published in 1836, Democracy in America. And he talks about how he would visit the average farmer. You know, he'd just walk up to some farm and have these in-depth, erudite discussions about the nuance of international politics and domestic politics. He was totally blown away by it. I mean, it was the main theme of his book. And, kind of went down, and then after the Civil War came up, and then during the Depression of 1893, 1894, again, we had this resurgence of political activity. I think, you know, these things go in cycles.
Well, that's the role you're playing today, to try to inform us. I shared with your producer something interesting you might want to be aware of. I tried to encourage some people, I'm with the Veterans for Peace here, to tune into your program and call you. And they tell me that no matter how hard they try to accurately call your number, they get a recording telling them to dial a different 800 number. They dial it, and they're getting some heavy-breathing porn site.
Oh, well, you know, at least they're being entertained.
Well, but I think that also it's you should have your engineers taking a look at who's playing games with your phone lines.
Yeah, we'll let our phone company know.
Thank you.
Dave, thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. 1-866-889-8894. I saw papers that show the U.S. knew that Al-Qaeda would attack cities with airplanes. This a screaming front-page headline in The Independent in U.K., it was a story Amy Goodman talked about this morning in Democracy Now. It's the former translator for the... Actually, she had her on as a guest. The former translator for the FBI with top secret security clearances. She has provided information to the panel investigating the 9-1-1, you know, the September 11 attacks, which proves senior officials, knew of Al-Qaeda plans to attack the U.S. with aircraft months before the strikes happened. More about that in just a moment. First, let's take a call from Mary in Tennessee. Hey, Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom.
What's up?
I was wondering if you have heard of David Ray Griffin.
I have not.
I was listening to Sirius last night, and he was on the All-American Top Network.
Peter B. Werby.
He wrote
Peter B. Collins, rather. Yeah.
The New Pearl Harbor.
Uh-huh.
And it's about the 9/11 attacks and the timelines and things like that.
Yeah, I have not read the book, and I don't have the book, but I've read several things about the book, and it's on my list.
Okay, I was just wondering because the program got interrupted before it was over, and it was extremely interesting the failures that happened that day.
Yeah, and all the strange coincidences.
Exactly, yeah. You know the jets being scrambled from 300 miles away as opposed to 90 miles away or 70 miles away, and just different things that should have happened that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's pretty clear that the administration, this is not a defense by any means, but it's pretty clear that the administration was very much focused on the idea of a threat of nuclear missiles from Russia rather than terrorists. They just didn't take seriously what the Clinton administration told them. You know, Condi Rice was supposed to give a speech on 9/11 in which she was going to say, you know, we've got to build these Star Wars defense system, which is really, you know, a huge pork barrel thing. I mean, Ronald Reagan took over $1 trillion a year in my tax dollars, $1 billion, $1 million, and handed it over to these big defense contractors to do research and development on Star Wars. And of course, now you see, you know, they're running their ads on CNN and whatnot. Hey, Boeing, we're wonderful. You know, want to buy a jet airplane? No, I don't think so. But you know, but you're not going to see CNN criticizing them, I don't suspect. In any case, she was going to give this speech saying, you know, we need more Star Wars defense. And that's, you know, they were, I think all their planes were pointed at Russia. They just weren't paying attention.
Well, I mean, it's like you said, the administration came in and they wanted to pick back up where they left off when Daddy Bush left the office.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Only do it right this time. We're going to show Daddy that Junior is actually better. He's not a junior. He's
superior. I think you were right the first time. We want to show Mommy that Junior's actually better.
There you go.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. I appreciate the call. 1-866-889-8894. Ben in Columbus, Georgia, is on the line. Hey, Ben. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing? Love your show.
Thank you. What's up?
Hey, on the current topic of advanced knowledge of September 11th, I heard a rumor that Jeb Bush, and I'm from Florida, had put Florida under martial law, an order to put Florida under martial law on the 7th of September of 2001.
Yeah.
Is that true? Or?
Yeah, something very much like that is true. Yeah, I don't know if it was martial law or if it was like some super high-level security alert or whatever, but yes, he had increased that.
I have printed it out. I have it. It's Executive Order Number 01-261.
There you go.
Just a real small synopsis of it. In Section 3, it says, based on the potential massive damage to life and property that may result from an act of terrorism at a Florida port, the necessity to protect life and property from such acts of terrorism was the reason that he signed it. Those are his words. And I was just wondering if you had any insight or had heard anything about that since you were on the topic of maybe some higher officials, and, you know, he's the president's brother, having advanced knowledge. And they were also the first state to declare a national emergency, and Florida wasn't even affected.
Yeah. You'll find that. I mean, there's a lot of sources for that. Greg Pallas talks about it in his book, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And yeah, you know, Jeb knew something. And it wasn't just that his brother was coming down to Florida to keep from going back to Washington, D.C. before the strikes.
Right.
But yeah, okay. Good point, Ben. Thanks for letting us know. 1-866-889-8894. The former translator for the FBI is named Sybil Edmonds. She said she spent more than 3 hours in a closed session with the commission's investigators. The Bush administration, and telling them she was a translator. She speaks, it's really quite remarkable. She speaks Azerbaijani, Farsi, which is the language they speak in Iran, Turkish, and English. She's a Turkish-American. She speaks four languages. And she said, I gave the commission details of specific investigation files, the specific dates, specific target information, specific managers in charge of the investigation. I gave them everything so they can go back and follow up. This is not hearsay. These are things that are documented. These are things that can be established very easily. And she says the terrorists were planning to attack, quote, major cities with skyscrapers, end quote. She goes on to say, and this is a quote from her, President Bush said they had no specific information about 11 September, and that is accurate, but only because he said 11 September, end quote. There was, however, general information about the use of airplanes and that an attack was just months away. The plot thickens. Armin in Florida is on the line. Hey, Armin, what's up?
Hey, I want to know why some of these political-affiliated groups that want to get this crime family out of power, why aren't they saying which is the truth? And that is, this criminal that's in the White House has raised the taxes, basically, since he's run deficits, since he's been in, to the tune of approximately $1.5 trillion that somebody's going to have to pay.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they're not calling him a criminal because as soon as you do that, about two-thirds of Americans just stop listening, for better or for worse. I mean, you know,
polish it up crime family does their stuff.
Yeah, you've got to make it palatable. But the bottom line is that you're right, and you're absolutely right. And it's a point that I make on this program all the time. Bush did not pass any tax cuts. He passed tax deferrals. He borrowed from us and from our children in order to give money to his rich benefactors and his rich donors so that they can then give him $170 million for his campaign coffers so that he can run ads saying that, you know, John Kerry's going to raise your taxes. And and we're going to have to pay it. I mean, we're paying right now a couple $100 billion a year in interest, just in interest, on the money that Ronald Reagan borrowed in the same way to do the same thing way back when. So this is nothing new. It's the same old. But thanks for raising it, Armin. I appreciate it. Good to get that stuff on the table from time to time. Jim in Columbus, Georgia is on the line. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Yeah, Tom, you had a fellow to call from Columbus there wanting to know about Jeb Bush putting Florida under martial law. The RICO lawsuit brought by Ellen Mariani mentioned something about that.
Yes.
And also that he flew a bunch of files out of the country, these flight schools that were training some of these people. He flew all these files out of the country. That's also mentioned in this lawsuit. So maybe you can have her and her attorney on and maybe talk about that a little.
That's a good idea, Jim. We'll put it on the list.
I appreciate it, Tom.
Okay, thanks for the call. That's an excellent idea. She's the RICO lawsuit. This is George Bush is being sued under the organized crime statute, the racketeering and corrupt organization, whatever it is. And, saying that the guy's like the mob. Raymond in Cement City, Michigan's on the line. Hey, Raymond, what's up?
Good afternoon, Tom. Listen, I just wanted to mention the other person who talked about Peter B's show last night. It was an excellent show, and it was interrupted by a change in programming, apparently by Sirius. And I think the issue is here is who is going to be persuaded to be a Bush supporter on the show that interrupted Peter B. It was Alan Combs on there saying that he's had an epiphany, and he thinks really that he had to rethink that. And I think what's his name, Michael Reagan, called up and congratulated him on seeing the light. So what I'm wondering is who's going to get pressured next to change their view?
Number one, I don't get into the programming of our affiliates. Number two, I didn't hear it, so I don't know the details. But money talks, and there's a whole lot. Dennis Miller. There's a whole bunch of people who all of a sudden have embraced the conservative position, because the conservative position basically is corporations should rule. It's corporate rule in America. It's feudalism. It's rule by the rich, and the rich, they take good care of their friends. So
You hang in there, Tom. Don't change over on us.
Not a chance, Raymond. I'll do it. I'll stick around. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 10 minutes before the hour.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely, because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores? Call now. 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Bottled water does not necessarily mean better water. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A typical label on a plastic water bottle uses terms such as pure, glacial, and unpolluted. Brian Howard recently investigated the quality of bottled water for E! Magazine. He says it's a self-regulated industry and labels can be misleading.
Most of the language, like pure, natural, glacial, pristine, all those words are unregulated. So people sort of take it for granted. They just think, oh, well, if it's someone went to the trouble of bottling it up, then, you know, it must be more pure.
Howard says consumers drink bottled water because they think it's safer. But he says as much as 40% of bottled water originates from a tap. And he says bottled water is not under the same strict regulations as normal tap water.
One of the reasons people drink bottled water is because they believe it's going to be cleaner than their tap water. So they're really replacing their tap water with bottled water. But the industry doesn't want to admit that. They say that they're providing a convenience of food. So it's not regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency.
In 1999, the National Resources Defense Council conducted a study of 103 different brands of bottled water. A quarter of them were contaminated by bacteria, arsenic, or chemicals at levels that exceeded California state standards. Howard says, unlike municipal water utilities, bottled water companies do not have to supply water quality data to the public. And he says bottlers can destroy their records after 2 years. Howard says consumers have difficulty knowing just how pure their bottled water actually is. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. You're in the No Boring Zone. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 4 minutes before the hour, a program brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX or smalldog.com, the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, the Newsletter Factory, and others. On 9/11, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. The irony of this is mind-boggling. On 9/11, Condi Rice was scheduled to give a speech. This is in the in yesterday's Washington Post. And yes, it was April 1st yesterday, but this is not an April Fool's joke. This from the very beginning, on George Bush's first address to Congress, February 27th, 2001, he promoted missile defense. He said, you know, this is the top priority. What Donald Rumsfeld has been, you know, there was the Rumsfeld Commission. Remember that, 1998? Rumsfeld was a lobbyist for the defense industry. And his commission came up with the startling conclusion that we need to spend more billions of dollars for defense contractors to do research and development on creating a Star Wars shield, even though the Soviet Union had gone down in flames, because there was the possibility that a rogue nation like Iraq or North Korea might somehow, without us noticing it, build an intercontinental ballistic missile and a nuclear bomb. Maybe even a whole bunch of them. And the interceptor missiles that we have and the planes and the submarines and all that stuff just wouldn't be enough. So anyhow, Condi Rice, this is from her speech that she was... Oh, this is actually George Bush's speech, his first speech. Our nation needs a clear strategy to confront the threats of the 21st century. They range from terrorists who threaten with bombs to tyrants and rogue nations who are developing weapons of mass destruction. To protect our people, our allies, and friends, we must develop and deploy effective missile defenses.
And a 9/11 Condi Rice was going to give a speech saying the same thing. We need more Star Wars. You know, those Clinton people, what did they know? They were obsessed with terrorism. They're crazy. Forget them. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
News break from the Minuteman News Service.
This is Don Waller in New York. Prosecutors investigating whether someone in the Bush administration improperly disclosed the identity of a CIA officer have expanded their inquiry to examine whether White House officials lied to investigators or mishandled classified information related to the case, lawyers involved in the case, and government officials say. The broadened scope is a potentially significant development that represents exactly what allies of the Bush White House feared when Attorney General John Ashcroft removed himself from the case last December and turned it over to Patrick Fitzgerald, the United States Attorney in Chicago. Republican lawyers worry that the leak case in the hands of an aggressive prosecutor might grow into an unwieldy, time-consuming, and politically charged inquiry like the sprawling independent counsel inquiries of the 90s, which distracted and damaged the Clinton administration. The commission investigating the September 11th attacks said on Thursday that it was pressing the White House to explain why the Bush administration had blocked thousands of pages of classified foreign policy and counterterrorism documents from former President Bill Clinton's White House files from being turned over to the panel's investigators. The commission and the White House were reacting to public complaints from former aides to Mr. Clinton, who said they had been surprised to learn in recent months that three-quarters of the nearly 11,000 pages of files the former president was ready to offer the commission had been withheld by the Bush administration. A report released by a House committee on Thursday describes how the Bush administration worked with the United States chemical industry to undermine a European plan that would require all manufacturers to test industrial chemicals for their effect on public health before they were sold in Europe. The administration said publicly that the proposal last year would threaten the $20 billion in chemicals that the United States exports to Europe each year because the cost of testing would be prohibitive. Behind the scenes, the administration was working with the chemical industry to devise a plan to undermine the proposal, according to email messages and documents released in the report. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A hamster named Teddy sparked a police rescue mission after he climbed inside a computer printer and got stuck because he was too fat to get out again, authorities said Wednesday. Contrary to his normal habits, Teddy climbed inside a PC printer and was unable to get out because of his corpulence, police in the northern city of Flensburg, Germany, said in a statement, adding that they initially thought it was an April Fool's joke. Luckily for Teddy, a neighbor of his owner managed to free the hamster, so the arriving police officer was spared the task. This is Don Waller in New York.
Minuteman Newsbreak is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
I have been to the cross, and I have felt the passion. Not Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, where viewers get to see a Jesus character beaten to a bloody pulp and then graphically crucified on a cross. No, there's nothing at all holy or redeeming about the cross I have witnessed. It's a political cross, marking the spot in Austin, Texas, where the GOP's diabolical hatchet man, Tom DeLay, beat our state's representative democracy to a pulp. This simple wooden cross, nailed to a telephone pole, is 4 feet high, painted white, and hand-lettered. The crosspiece says, Democracy. The centerpiece says, R.I.P., killed by Tom DeLay on this spot. Tom, of course, is the nutball Republican majority leader of the U.S. House, who stormed into the Texas state capitol last year and used the GOP's total control of state government to ram through a grossly partisan, contorted piece of raw gerrymandering that autocratically redraws our state's congressional districts and steals half a dozen seats from the Democrats, a theft that will alter the balance of power in Washington. Austin has long had its own coherent congressional district, logical for a state capital and a community of shared interests. DeLay's power grab, however, fractures our city into three shards of incoherent districts that are dominated by populations far from our borders. Stand in central Austin at 38th and Ronson Streets, where the telephone pole cross was erected, and you are at the epicenter of the fracture. Step in one direction and you're in a district controlled by San Antonio's Republican suburbs. Step in another direction and you're in a district running 300 miles away to the Rio Grande Valley. Step again and you're in a district controlled by Houston's Republican suburbs. This is Jim Hightower saying, a majority of Austinites now have congressional districts without representation. There once was a revolution over that anti-democratic principle.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
When you're the voice of reason, very few things get you excited. So you wouldn't expect something like a good price on a great copier to be one of them. But when the subject is a Xerox digital copier that delivers 35 quality pages a minute for a surprisingly low lease price of $134 a month and is so advanced it can be upgraded to scan, fax, and even email, well, that's enough to even make the voice of reason pick up the phone.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. Tom Hartman with you here, the Tom Hartman radio program, where our drug of choice is democracy. It's the second hour of our Friday afternoon program. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders is with us, and push the right button there. Hey, Bernie, welcome to the Tom Hartman radio program.
Good to be with you, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. I understand you're broadcasting live from the floor of the House of Representatives?
Something like that, right off the floor, yeah.
I am impressed. You're right there in the middle, the heartbeat of our nation's democracy. Is there a significant vote going on?
There's going to be a vote in a few minutes, and then we're out of here for a couple of weeks.
weeks, but I didn't want to have to run from the office down here. So
yeah, and I understand you may have to set the phone down and do a vote or something sometime during the show. Okay, so we'll be attentive to that, and you can just let us know. Hey, did you hear this thing? Kevin Danaher and Jason Mark just published a thing in Alternet where they were suggesting, putting themselves forward as consultants, and they said, we can show you how, by firing a single individual, your company can save millions of dollars. And they're talking about how to outsource CEOs. If you outsource your CEO, if you get a typical, the typical CEO in Asia makes $300,000 a year, in Europe they make 2.7. Here they make 10.83, so they're offering a twofer. We'll give you an Asian.
I think what's been going on here, one of the real outrages, amidst many other outrages, is that there has been a huge increase in the gap between CEOs' incomes and those of their workers. And I think the last figure I saw, if you can believe it, it's now about 500 to 1.
Yeah, and that's not because they own stock and equity and things. That's
their compensation package.
Right. Who in their right mind would think that any human being was worth 500 times more than another? I mean, how could it be that for 200 years in this country, I mean, in the 1950s, it was like 30 to 1 typically in
the
United States.
That's right.
And, how did this happen?
And that's a real, it really speaks to the greed issue that you and I have talked about quite often. And it's a real insult to the working people in these large corporations who are struggling, to keep their heads above water economically. Meanwhile, their CEOs receive huge compensation packages. They get all these stock options when they retire. They get these golden parachutes. Some of these guys leave with $100 million. And meanwhile, to add insult to injury, these guys make more money when they lay off larger numbers of workers. It seems to be a correlation between the more workers you lay off, the larger your compensation package is.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. The Center for American Progress today reported that Senate conservatives with backing from the White House are refusing to allow a vote on raising the minimum wage from $5.15 to $7 an hour, restoring overtime pay protections, or extending federal unemployment benefits. Is that happening in the House as well?
Absolutely. Oh, these guys, to the best of my knowledge, and I listen pretty closely, you have a $5.15 federal minimum wage. Some states, of course, have gone higher. But you have a disgraceful $5.15 minimum wage here. I have not heard one Republican on one occasion talk about the need to raise the minimum wage. What we do hear about, of course, are huge tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires and large corporations. But you have millions of American workers today trying to survive on $5.15, $6 an hour. Some of them are working 40 hours a week, and they're sleeping in their cars. Not one word. And then, as you just indicated, in addition to not raising the minimum wage, they want to do away with overtime pay when millions of workers are dependent upon overtime pay in order to pay the bills. So this is an extraordinarily anti-worker administration, and that's why we've all got to work so hard to make sure that George Bush is a one-term president.
Yeah. Bernie, we're speaking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. I didn't do the normal setup, and I should here. Congressman Sanders is the only independent in the House of Representatives. Been reelected seven times now. The longest-serving independent member of the House of Representatives in history, I believe, right? Yeah, it's an extraordinary record. If you'd like to be on the phone with Bernie, the phone number is area code 866-1-866-889-8894, a telephone number. Bernie, we had Senator John Corzine on here yesterday or the day before.
Well, I just talked to him about a half hour ago.
It was one of those moments you want to forget. I took a caller and then I pushed the wrong button and I dumped him. But I had asked him the question. And he wasn't quite willing to answer it. Let me just lay it out. The question whether the reason that the Bush administration is refusing to extend overtime benefits, or not overtime, is refusing to extend workmen's unemployment insurance,
yes,
is because what that will do is it will cause, see, after somebody's unemployment insurance expires, then there's a period of time, depending on the state, of some months, where all of a sudden, suddenly they're not counted anymore as unemployed. And so the unemployment statistics actually start looking better if you can kind of get those people, flush them out of the system. And there's this theory
that one of the reasons why this administration is refusing to extend unemployment is because it would keep the unemployment statistics up, which would look bad for George Bush. Am I being a conspiracy nut here? Or this seems to make sense to me, actually.
I honestly don't know, but I would think more likely is spending money on workers' needs and calling attention to the fact that not only is unemployment higher and getting higher, but long-term unemployment is extremely high, is probably the more pertinent reason.
Yeah, yeah, okay. 1-866-889-8894, telephone number. Dan in Fort Worth, Texas is on the line. Hey, Dan, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Congressman Bernie Sanders, live from the floor of the House of Representatives.
Hey, fellas, how are y'all today?
Good.
Bernie, been a big fan of yours from Texas down here for many years. Now, I'm not a conspiracy idiot, But I would say, Bernie, and I don't know what kind of comment you could make on this, the state of affairs that our representative system of government is in today, and the way I perceive that the culture of absolute lies, deceit, and cover-ups that goes on in Washington, D.C., when you carefully read the Declaration of Independence, especially through the point to where they get up to listing their petition of grievances against the King and Great Britain, I think it's getting time, seriously, to where this nation needs to start considering reconvening another constitutional or congressional such system to redraft the Declaration of Independence.
Well, Dan, I think that you're looking at the Bush administration, in my view, as the most reactionary administration in the modern history of this country, an administration which day after day, along with their Republican friends here in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, working day and night to represent the wealthy and large corporations. I think the immediate task that we face is to really focus on the coming election, is to substantially increase voter turnout, to raise political consciousness, to make sure people don't fall into traps over these wedge issues. So before we get diverted on other things, I think we've got to focus on winning this election, because I'll tell you why. If you think the last 3.5 years have been bad, let me tell you something. A Bush reelected, when he no longer has to come before the people for another election, will be a total disaster. So my energy is going to be focused on this election and making sure that we send Mr. Bush back to Texas.
And you're not even a Democrat.
Well, I would agree that to give this individual that is currently serving as president any notion that he has, quote-unquote, a mandate would be extremely dangerous.
Dan, we want to return him to your home state there.
We'd be glad to have him back because somewhere in Texas a village is missing its idiot.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank
you. Okay, 1-866-889-8894. We're on live here with Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Bernie, the independent representative from Vermont. And, Bernie, we have Patrick in New Jersey is on the line. Hey, Patrick, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello, Tom. Hello?
Hello,
yeah,
how are you?
You're live.
Hey, great show, Tom. Good to hear you again and to hear Bernie Sanders is always great. I have a question I want to throw out to Mr. Sanders, get his thoughts and response, and it has to do with what you just mentioned about focusing on the election and getting rid of Bush. Since Kerry is the definitely going to be the candidate for the Democrats, and I think we have a problem, and I would wonder how you might want to address it. Kerry seems to be sort of giving up the war issue to Bush. He's not promoting a strong position against the war in Iraq. Kerry voted for the war, and he's saying we shouldn't be withdrawing troops, we should continue the war. He has no plan to end the war or withdraw American troops from the war.
Actually, Patrick,
I think he's going to be coming up, he's going to be losing quite a lot of support because he's not going to energize the anti-war position, which is a very major issue right now in the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree with you. And I think my hope is, there's a lot of pressure on Senator Kerry to move to the middle, to become more conservative, to try to get some moderate Republicans. I think that would be a disastrous approach, and I think he will lose the election if he follows that advice. What he has got to do at a time when tens of millions of Americans are outraged by the actions of the White House when our economy is in deep trouble, when there is, as you indicate, deep, deep concern about what's going on in Iraq, and I think that concern is growing wider every single day. I think he's got to be bold. I think he's got to be progressive. I think he has got to excite ordinary people, and if he does that, he can win. So I do think he's got to be speaking out not only against the war, but on issues of health care, issues of education. I think the people want to hear a real, real alternative. I think that's the right thing to do, and in fact, I think that's good winning politics.
Well, I hope you can convince him to do that.
We're going to try to do that. Believe me, Patrick.
But
I'm telling you, a lot of people.
Because if he gives up and lets Bush have the war issue as if the war was okay, he's definitely going to lose.
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Patrick. Well said. In our chat room, which, by the way, those of you who are listening, if you have a computer turned on, you can get to the chat room by going to tomhartmann.com and just click the live chat link or the chat room link. And once it'll drop you into the Democratic forum on CompuServe, and then push the chat button, and boom, you're in there. Pacecop says, Tom, ask Bernie if outsourcing is a good thing like Bush says, then why do we give tax breaks and other subsidies using the excuse that it's needed to keep and create jobs here?
Who's that, Tom?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, let me tell Tom, we just had a meeting, and Tom, I think you know that, in your hometown of Montpelier, Vermont, just a few days ago, on Monday night, where we had well over 200 people coming out and speaking out against outsourcing.
Yeah, I saw it in the paper. In fact, somehow I missed that you were doing that, or I would have shown up. I missed it. But anyway, yeah.
Outsourcing is a
standing room only
problem. Let's be clear about what's happening. The bottom line of this entire issue is that corporate America is leading us into a race to the bottom. They are forcing American workers to compete against desperate people in China who make 20, 30, 40 cents an hour and have no democratic rights. And the result of that is a loss of massive manufacturing jobs. And now the problem is with information technology outsourcing. Huge issue which must be addressed. We have legislation that I'll talk about in a moment about how to do that.
Okay, great. I look forward to that. We'll get to that in just a second. This is the Tom Hartmann Radio Program with Congressman Bernie Sanders. 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You.
What?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, okay. Can you tell me who Louis Armstrong was?
He was the first guy on the moon.
Mm.
You know, one small step for man.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance and Armstrong's horn. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartmann. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartmann.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
According to Solutions for Progress Incorporated, American workers are 81% more productive today than they were in 1968, and corporate profits are 39% higher when adjusted for inflation. But minimum wage workers earn nearly 40% less than their counterparts did a generation ago. The lowest paid workers received $1.65 an hour in 1968, the equivalent of $8.45 in 2003.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
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 Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he a guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman Radio Program, our Brunch with Bernie segment, second hour of Friday, and we're on with Congressman Bernie Sanders, who is live at the floor of the House of Representatives.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Great. You're still there, Bernie.
I am still here.
Okay, great. You were going to tell us about a piece of legislation that,
right,
that you're suggesting, and also I'd like to get your thoughts on Kerry's trade plan, which kind of seems to fit into this in a jigsaw puzzle kind of way.
Well, what we are proposing is the following. Many Americans don't know that as a nation and as taxpayers, we provide tens of billions of dollars every single year in what I consider to be corporate welfare. And that is low-interest loans, loan guarantees, grants, tax breaks to many of the largest corporations in America. And what many of these companies are doing is running to China, running to Mexico, running to India. And it seems to me to be absolutely absurd to be giving all of this money to these companies, ostensibly in the name of job creation, when in fact they are throwing hundreds of thousands of American workers out on the street. General Electric, Motorola, Boeing, huge downsizing and yet huge recipients of corporate welfare. So what we are saying is if a company wants to throw American workers out on the street and move abroad, the taxpayers of this country should not be providing them with corporate welfare. But what we should be doing is working with those smaller and medium-sized businesses or worker-owned businesses who want to grow decent-paying jobs in this country. And that's the principle of that legislation.
Marvelous, marvelous. I mean, actually, these companies, Bernie, are creating jobs. It's just that they're creating them in India and China.
And you know, Tom, what is absolutely amazing, if you read about this stuff, these guys are as bold as they can be. They're right up front about saying it. The guy ahead, General Electric, he said, hey, we're moving to China. That's where we want to go.
Yeah.
Oh, but please, taxpayers of this country, give us some of your tax dollars. And I think it's time morally as a nation that we said, sorry, that is wrong. And that is also why we've got to make sure that the federal government and state governments do not get involved in outsourcing, because the word has got to go out. Not only should the public sector not do it, the private sector should not do it. We've got to protect the middle class of this country.
It's an issue of morality, and it should be an issue of law. I agree. 27 minutes past the hour, we're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Greg in Pennsylvania is on the line. Hey, Greg, welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm a huge fan of both of you. And my question is for Bernie. Something that really concerns me is my own cynicism and that of others who I talk to when they say, you know what? It's all going to be rigged anyway. You got Diebold in Ohio. So none of this matters if people don't feel like at least Congress can ensure the integrity of the election. And I think that's just something I'd like you to comment on, if you would, please.
Okay, let me respond to it, Greg, in two ways. Number one, let's not get overly paranoid. Let me tell you, Mr. Bush would not be spending $150 million in this election doing all of the nefarious things that they're doing if they thought this election was in the bag. I think the issue, we've discussed it on the show, of touchscreen elections, for example, touchscreen balloting is a great concern, which is why I am strongly supporting legislation offered by Rush Holt of New Jersey to make sure that touchscreens kick out paper ballots, which will confirm what the is done in the computer. And I know, Tom, you've had Rush on your show, and he's doing a really good job. We have a lot of support for it. We want to keep that going. We also want to make work at the statewide level to make sure that that action takes place. But having said that, I don't want I sometimes get nervous when people get paranoid and into conspiracies. This election is absolutely winnable. And we've just got to go out and mobilize people and educate people and make sure that people vote.
There you go, Greg.
Right.
Get active. Get active. Despair is not an option. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. If you'd like to be on the air with Congressman Bernie Sanders, this is the Tom Hartman Radio Program, our Brunch with Bernie segment. We'll be right back.
When Bush got into the driver's seat, he took over the largest surplus in American history and turned that surplus into the largest deficit in history. The U.S. economy has lost 3.3 million jobs, the most since the Great Depression. Then Bush drove us into war with Iraq. We're losing lives. We're hemorrhaging money. And these costs are driving our country closer to bankruptcy. Just where does George Bush think he's taking...
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
4 years ago, the U.S. Department of Energy created a special program to compensate workers at federal nuclear facilities who may have been exposed to health-damaging radiation on the job. 4 years later, with some 22,000 applications for aid received and tens of millions of dollars spent on the system, a little more than 300 workers have received any contact from the Department of Energy, and only one check's been cut. At a Senate Energy Committee hearing this week, it was revealed the private contractor in charge of the nuclear worker compensation program charges twice as much for its services as it would cost the government to do the work itself. At present, the DOE spends $1 million a month on this particular contract.
As the Labor Department prepares to implement rule changes stripping overtime pay for as many as 8 million Americans, Illinois state lawmakers want nothing to do with the plan. The state legislature just sent the governor legislation blocking any changes to federal rules governing overtime pay for white-collar workers. And Wednesday, the AFL-CIO held a protest outside a Bush fundraiser in Washington, D.C. Kathy Stobird is a nurse in Pittsburgh who spoke at the demonstration.
President Bush's policies to end overtime pay will devastate the nursing profession by driving even more nurses out of hospitals, which will ultimately cause a patient care crisis in this country.
The Office of Management and Budget is currently reviewing the Bush administration's final overtime regulations and could approve them any day now.
Turbulent skies again for U.S. Airways. Less than a year out of bankruptcy, airline executives have told the workforce the company may go into Chapter 11 again unless it can cut costs by another $1 billion a year to compete with no-frills airlines. These would be on top of $1 billion a year worth of concessions union employees already committed to as part of the bankruptcy process. U.S. Airways pilots and mechanics unions this week called the proposals unacceptable and may lead a drive to call for the resignation of senior airline management.
Irish workers can breathe a little easier this week now that the government has issued Western Europe's first national ban on all workplace smoking. Pub owners are complaining about lost business due to relocated weddings and conferences, but polls are showing approximately 80% of Irish people support the ban.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. If you hear President Bush tout his federal budget plan for next year as an achievement in his campaign, don't believe the hype. The Economic Policy Institute took a close look at the Bush budget and noted there are numerous funding increases in politically sensitive areas that, if Bush gets another term, are slated to take cuts that will offset their election year windfalls. A good example is the Department of Education. It stands to see a funding gain of more than 2% next year, then would face an average 1% cut in funding for the next four.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Makes a move of which we don't approve. Who is it that always intervenes? UN and OAS, they have their place, I guess. But first, send the Marines.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman, the Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders is on with us in the second hour of our Friday program. And Congressman Sanders is live and on the floor of the House of Representatives today. You still there, Bernie?
I'm right here, Tom.
Ah, great. Okay. What do you think about John Kerry's trade plan? You know, he's proposed closing some of these loopholes and giving and reducing the corporate tax rate and whatnot. What are your thoughts on that, if you don't mind?
Kerry has historically not been strong on the issue of trade. He's voted for the some of these trade agreements, which I think are a disaster. I think as he goes around the country, he's hearing from workers who are explaining to him how disastrous they are. He's becoming more and more aware of outsourcing and the loss of good-paying jobs. But I hope as the campaign develops that he becomes even stronger on this issue. This is a complicated issue, to be sure, but I hope that he makes it very, very clear to corporate America that the answer is not tax breaks, more tax breaks, but I would prefer him to be saying what we are saying is stop giving corporate welfare to those companies who want to go to China.
Yeah, well said. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Joe in Pennsylvania is on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much, and I really want to applaud both of you for being here and helping give some light to the world. I'm running for U.S. Senate, as I've told you before, Tom. I've been on a couple times. Are you able to hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the major focus for my campaign, I've got 32 issues I'm working on right now, but the major focus is I take no money from corporations or special interests, and that we need to vote for people who take no money from corporations or special interests. Although I'm an entrepreneur, I believe in the small and mid-sized business opportunities that should be here and are what make this country what it is today. And what Bernie Sanders is doing, and I really applaud you for this, is really shining a light from the inside to the outs for the rest of us to see what's going on. And thank you very much for that. And I'm hoping, a question, Bernie, is do you have information about all of this on your website? And if so,
yes, we do,
website?
Joe. We have an excellent website, and it's www.bernie.house.gov. Well, you can just get it from the House of Representatives, Vermont. We have a lot of information on outsourcing, on prescription drugs, on the economy, on Iraq. It's a very good website. We get over 70,000 hits a month. And Joe, check it out, and I would urge the listeners to do that. That's bernie.house.gov.
Great. Thank you, Bernie. Thank you, Joe. 1-866-889-8894. Celia in Winter Park, Florida is on the line. Celia, welcome to the program.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Celia.
Good. I was in Washington last month from the 19th to the 23rd, and I did stop by your office, Congressman Sanders. Unfortunately, you were in Vermont, but I just wanted to let you know that I consider myself FOB, a fan of Bernie's.
That's
and I
great.
Came to talk to you about the UN Population Fund and the global gag rule.
Yes.
And the absolute horror and suffering
that's, right.
that's going on since this creature in the White House has pulled the $34 million from the
Absolutely.
UN Population Fund.
Well, see, as a matter of fact, that you mentioned that, it's funny that tomorrow, actually, in Randolph, Vermont, we're having a town meeting on women's issues, and our keynote speaker is going to be Gloria Felt, who is the president of Planned Parenthood, and we'll be discussing just these type of issues. The idea that we are cutting
funding from family planning groups all over this world, where there is a desperate need, because somehow or another they may be affiliated with a group who provides abortions or provides information on abortion, is beyond comprehension. It is Neanderthal. And it's an outrage.
But, well, apparently, you know, they sent out several teams of variety, you know, faith-based and some other, you know, very mainstream organizations to look at this in some of the demonstration projects in China. And there were no abortions. And there were no coerced sterilizations. But
no, but
people don't realize.
They're recommending birth control. I mean, you know, that.
Right. The $34 million would have prevented 2 million unwanted pregnancies, 800,000 unwanted abortions, 4,700 maternal deaths, and 77,000 infant mortalities. Oh. And you know, so these people are being totally disingenuous when they say that they care about family values and they want to prevent abortions, when in reality, exactly the opposite is occurring.
Celia, I agree with you, pure and simple. And this is such a reactionary ideology that it is incomprehensible. And the pain that it's causing so many women, poor women around the world, is incomprehensible.
Yeah, well said, Cecilia. Thank you very much for the call. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Bernie, before we go to the next call, just a quick question. I don't know if Bob Wexler told you about what, in his state, in Florida, Senator Anna Cowan has introduced a bill just in time for the next elections. And this, apparently the Republicans are really pushing this, Senate Bill number 3004 in the Florida House Senate, that would make it illegal for there to be, quote, a manual recount. Well, here's the quote. A manual recount may not be conducted of undervotes on touchscreen machines, end quote. In other words, it's going to be illegal to audit a touchscreen machine in Florida.
Well, that's quite amazing. And let's hope that piece of legislation gets laughed out of their legislature.
Yeah, let's hope so. He's Wexler is, of course, it's his state. You know, he's a little upset about it.
Well, he should be.
Yeah, 1-866-889-8894, telephone number. We have open lines. Roy in Rio Rancho's on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. What a beautiful day. I'm sure glad you're around today, Bernie. I quite frankly, I don't have any faith that these people will do anything correctly. My faith has gone out the door.
These people being who, Roy?
The shrub and the rest of the bunch. The whole right-wing spin machine. And what concerns me is there is so many things that gets buried so down the news cycle that we miss. And, you know, from the FCC to the FDA, the judiciary, the underlying stuff that just doesn't get any coverage because we have so many blow-ups on the front page. And how do we get the word out about they're not even secondary issues? I mean,
you're raising a very good issue, and it's one that Tom and I talk about a great deal, and it's why Tom has started this radio show and why people like Al Franken are getting on the radio. And I have a very real concern that fewer and fewer large multinational media companies are owning and controlling what we see here and read. And one of the impacts of that, because the bottom line is always sales and more growth and you know, advertising and so forth, is that there is a real distortion as to what is important and what is not. I happen not to think that Michael Jackson's personal problems are worthy of front-page stories and television coverage all over this country. It's not terribly important to me. What is important to me is to try to understand why the United States is the only country in the industrialized world not to have a national health care program guaranteeing health care to all people. It's important to me to understand why the middle class is shrinking and not to hear any more about Britney Spears. But for these people, there is a real effort to, I think with some intention, to deflect the attention of the American people away from the real issues that are impacting their lives, and they get them hooked on this entertainment stuff, which keeps them politically ignorant. Many of them won't vote, and life goes on then.
You know, Bernie, when you and I, and thank you, Roy, for that call. You know, Bernie, when you and I were kids, I remember, at least in Michigan, growing up in Michigan, of course, which was a heavy union state, there was a labor news section in the local newspaper. I mean, I talked about what was going on with the various unions, and, you know, this was happening here and this was happening there, and what the job prospects were. There was labor news in the paper, and there was a business news section in the paper that talked about the stock market and, you know, how to invest and all that kind of thing. And the labor news seems to have vanished.
Completely. Completely. Yeah. It's about, let me take that a step further, Tom. You almost never hear, if I were to ask your listeners right now, tell me who the, this will sound strange because of what you're saying. Who is the leader, or who are the leaders of the American working class? Now that sounds like a preposterous question, doesn't it? The leaders of the American working class, do we have a working class?
And
what are the leaders? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And the answer is that media pays very little attention to blue-collar workers and their needs. In terms of your point, newspaper after newspaper got rid of their labor reporters and now has only business coverage. And the needs of working people are really pushed completely aside. And I think this has a lot to do with corporate control over the media, and it's a very, very serious problem.
Yeah. About the only one that I know of right now is the Workers' Independent News Service. We run their clips on this program. They're doing a great job.
They are doing a great job. And what you hear from them is, in fact, important to millions of workers, and somehow ABC and CBS doesn't seem to be covering those, that information.
You know, hopefully we can set a good example for them. You mentioned Al Franken, Air America. These guys are getting a lot of publicity. Our program is growing. Other programs, you know, Ed Schultz is growing,
right.
Peter B. Collins. There's a bunch of, quote, liberal talk radio shows out there that are actually doing well and growing and making money and getting audience. And I just have to think that, you know, well, in fact, you know, Al Franken's show is being carried on a Clear Channel station out in Portland. I have to think that these guys are scratching their heads going, hey, you know, we'd like to make some money, and there's an audience out there. All these people voted for Al Gore and Ralph Nader. They buy products, too. They want to hear advertising. Anyhow, that's an old rant.
But you're absolutely right. And I can tell you that I've ranted here on the floor of the House on just that issue, and why progressives have sat back and allowed the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys to control and dominate commercial talk radio is beyond my comprehension. You have been one of the leaders in fighting back, and I really applaud you for that, Tom. And others are beginning to do it. But that's something, and I would hope that the listeners will be demanding that their local radio stations start allowing progressive voices to be heard in opposition to the dominance of this right-wing stuff.
Yeah, I agree. One of these days, by the way, Bernie, you got to drop by our studio here in Montpelier and do the show live from here. It's a hoot.
Love to do it.
By the way, Alwyn, one other thing to let you know, on your cable TV, if you go up into the high channels, there's a place where there's music on, you know, no TV, no picture, just music. And that's supplied by, to many of the cable systems around the country, supplied by an organization called Cable Radio Network, CRN. And they just picked up this program, too. So we're now in a few million more homes.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Effective this week. I got an email this morning from somebody who was listening to us on their TV set of all things. So, you know, who would have thought? 1-866-889-8894. And let's see here. Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania is on the line. Hey, Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom.
It's Rob with Op-Ed News.
Hey, two quick things. One other group that is underserved by the media is small business entrepreneurs. There's almost nothing that covers those of us who are in that category. You just see the big business, the stock market and the NASDAQ and the stock exchange companies. But the thing I wanted to ask Bernie about is it seems to me this whole issue with voting, which everybody I talk to is worried about.
Yes.
Everybody wants to vote, but they're really afraid about that they're going to get ripped off by a Catherine Harris type.
Mm-hmm.
It seems really simple. It should be this rule. If you can't recount it, then you don't count it in the first place.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Very straightforward. Just, you know, lay it. Yeah, I just discovered something.
I'm going to put down the phone for 1 second.
You got to take a vote.
Okay. I'll be back in 1 minute.
Okay, go for it, Bernie. And we'll just pot this down a little bit here. And Bernie's off to do his voting thing. This is kind of exciting, actually, you know, live from the House of Representatives, from the floor of the House. And Dave in Detroit, just hang on the line there, and as soon as Bernie gets back, I'll pop you on. In the meantime, a federal judge ordered the government to release more documents about the White House task force that met behind closed doors to develop a national energy policy. Is Dick Cheney going to bite the dust? This could be a big problem for Mr. Cheney, if he has to explain who was in his meeting It's a virtual certainty. It was Ken, you know, at least Ken Lay was there, which, you know, is embarrassing, if not worse. Are you back, Bernie?
I'm back.
Oh, great. Okay. I was just ranting about this judge releasing the energy documents. But let's move along to our caller. We've got Dave in Detroit is on the line. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Greetings from Detroit. Tom, Bernie.
Hi, how are you?
Appreciate the show. Just a little bit of information out of the city here. Detroit School Board yesterday announced they're going to be laying off 3,900 people. You know, I wish somebody would mention that to George. I mean, we need to lay off here, but you can comment it or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
That's just unbelievable, and I want everybody to hear that. Here you have a city, 3,900 people. It's a city which is struggling to make sure that its kids can do well in this world. And when everybody talks about the importance of education, when we have a quote-unquote education president in the White House, because they are completely underfunding federal aid to education, starving the states. States are running up huge deficits. The idea that in the year 2004, a major city in America would be laying off people in education is incomprehensible, and it really is a sad state of affairs for America.
Yeah, amen. And, Dave, thanks for that. Thanks for the point. It's well, it's just a tragedy. Bernie, we got a couple minutes here before the break. What's on your agenda right now? What are the hot issues that you're working on?
Well, where we are making some progress is an issue that I've been working on for years, and that is prescription drugs. I think all of the listeners should know that in America we pay by far the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. At the same time as the pharmaceutical industry year after year is the most profitable, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising and lobbying and campaign contributions. We are making some progress. The goal right now is to demand that the leadership in the Senate right now, the Republican leadership, allow Democrats and Republicans to come forward with legislation that would lower the cost of prescription drugs. So that's an area we're working hard. This whole issue of outsourcing is an area we're paying a lot of attention to, how we can protect decent paying jobs in America, get companies to reinvest here rather than go to China, is a huge issue that we're working very hard on. The issue of veterans' rights. Our friend, the president, is substantially underfunding the needs of our veterans, another issue we're working on.
Yeah, good one. Good on you. Stick around. Bernie Sanders is with us. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, our Brunch with Bernie segment. And Bernie, and we'll wrap it up here right after this break. I'd like you to let us know what we can do.
Okay, very
okay.
good.
Okay, hey, hang on. It's Tom Hartman. Stick around. We'll be right back.
That grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com. Or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitsky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitsky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Biologists in Colorado have helped a native fish survive serious pollution in its gene pool. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The greenback cutthroat trout once filled rivers in Colorado on the eastern slope of the Continental Divide. But people started putting sport fish like rainbow trout in those rivers, and the newcomers were hard on the old-timers. The cutthroats were crowded out of their natural habitat. They also started to crossbreed with their new neighbors, and they lost some of their genetic identity in the process. That's turning around thanks to some dedicated biologists and Rocky Mountain waterfowls. Andrew Martin is a biologist at the University of Colorado at Boulder, and he studies the genetic traits of the cutthroat trout. He says the first step to restoring it required finding cutthroats that were untainted by crossbreeding. The purebreds were taken to hatcheries, and their offspring were reintroduced into streams high in the Rocky Mountains. Martin says the offspring are in waters that are free of foreign fish and isolated by waterfalls.
The trout are only in the highest elevation streams that are separated from downstream places by big waterfalls, so fish can't get above these waterfalls. It's the only way we can keep them native, because if there's so many introduced species now that they can't persist down lower where all the introduced species are.
The greenback cutthroat trout is actually native to a large area at lower elevations, but most of that watershed is now dominated by non-native fish. Martin says this project is working simply because a group of people took action to save a unique creature.
If we know that the conditions are deteriorating so much in this one place that the species could potentially blink off the planet, people start to care.
In this case, the people who care include members of Trout Unlimited and people in the Colorado Division of Wildlife and two federal agencies. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Talk radio for the rest of us. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders, our second hour of the Friday program, and our Brunch with Bernie segment. Bernie, what can the average... But, you know, I think that... I forget who it was. Greg in Pennsylvania, actually, I think it was, who said, you know, he's experiencing despair. And, I hear that a lot from people. And, I know you don't tolerate that. You do these town meetings all over Vermont constantly where people come in.
Tom, I think you made the point. We can't afford despair. We can't afford conspiracy theory or paranoia. And sometimes, let me be harsh and say to those people, that becomes almost a reaction against doing nothing. So I think when you throw yourself out there and you start talking to people and you start educating and you start organizing, you start registering people to vote, you know what, you're not going to have enough time
to be in despair, because you're going to find a whole lot of people wanting to stand up with you and fight.
But what if there really are conspiracies out there?
I don't know. The way to win in politics is to educate and organize. That's the way it is today, and that is the way it has always been.
Right. Then we just push right through
them. It is not conspiracy. Trust me. It is not conspiracy to say that we have the largest corporations are the wealthiest people in this country who want to lower the standard of living of the middle class. That's fact. That's not conspiracy.
They're doing it right out in the open.
All right. They're doing it right out in the open. We know that. And we have got to fight back. And you fight back by registering people to vote, by talking to other than your own personal friends. Talk to people who have different points of view. Get good information off the Internet. Distribute it. Make sure that the people you register get out and vote. If everybody who listens to this program registers 10 people, which is a pretty conservative undertaking, got 7 months for an election. That ain't hard. 1.5 people a month, we can make a difference. Talk to your local newspaper and your radio stations about allowing alternative points of view to be heard. There's an enormous amount of work to be done.
Yeah, and fact,
despair is not part of that.
There you go. Despair is not an option. In fact, if people find advertisers, they take an advertiser to a radio station and say, we'll advertise on your show if you pick up this show.
That's exactly right.
It gets their attention. It gets their attention really quick. Congressman Bernie Sanders, thank you so much for taking time out from your day on the House floor there. I know you've got votes to deal with for being with us again.
Well, Tom, thank you. Keep up the great work.
Will do, Bernie. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
To the Tom Hartman Program, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
News break from the Minuteman News Service.
This is Don Waller in New York. Prosecutors investigating whether someone in the Bush administration improperly disclosed the identity of a CIA officer have expanded their inquiry to examine whether White House officials lied to investigators or mishandled classified information related to the case, lawyers involved in the case, and government officials say. The broadened scope is a potentially significant development that represents exactly what allies of the Bush White House feared when Attorney General John Ashcroft removed himself from the case last December and turned it over to Patrick Fitzgerald, the United States Attorney in Chicago. Republican lawyers worry that the leak case in the hands of an aggressive prosecutor might grow into an unwieldy, time-consuming, and politically charged inquiry like the sprawling independent counsel inquiries of the 90s, which distracted and damaged the Clinton administration. The commission investigating the September 11th attacks said on Thursday that it was pressing the White House to explain why the Bush administration had blocked thousands of pages of classified foreign policy and counterterrorism documents from former President Bill Clinton's White House files from being turned over to the panel's investigators. The commission and the White House were reacting to public complaints from former aides to Mr. Clinton, who said they had been surprised to learn in recent months that three-quarters of the nearly 11,000 pages of files the former president was ready to offer the commission had been withheld by the Bush administration. A report released by a House committee on Thursday describes how the Bush administration worked with the United States chemical industry to undermine a European plan that would require all manufacturers to test industrial chemicals for their effect on public health before they were sold in Europe. The administration said publicly that the proposal last year would threaten the $20 billion in chemicals that the United States exports to Europe each year because the cost of testing would be prohibitive. Behind the scenes, the administration was working with the chemical industry to devise a plan to undermine the proposal, according to email messages and documents released in the report. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A hamster named Teddy sparked a police rescue mission after he climbed inside a computer printer and got stuck because he was too fat to get out again, authorities said Wednesday. Contrary to his normal habits, Teddy climbed inside a PC printer and was unable to get out because of his corpulence, police in the northern city of Flensburg, Germany, said in a statement, adding that they initially thought it was an April Fool's joke. Luckily for Teddy, a neighbor of his owner managed to free the hamster, so the arriving police officer was spared the task. This is Don Waller in New York.
Minuteman News Break is a production of TakeBackTheMedia.com.
The Bushites seem to enjoy the fun game of preemptive regime change, in which they shout weapons of mass destruction before attacking a country with the full might of the U.S. military, tossing out the old leaders, installing some new ones, occupying the country, and calling this democracy. Now, however, they are saying that regime change need not be limited to nations that might pose some military threat to our country. For the past couple of years, these messianic global manipulators have quietly been out to topple Hugo Chavez, the duly elected president of Venezuela. What threat does Chavez pose to us? None. Zero. Zip. What's his crime? He's too lefty, not beholden to the oil giants operating in Venezuela, not properly obedient to U.S. power, and worst of all, the Bushites just don't like him. So they've been scheming with Venezuelan elites to oust him. They exulted in 2002 when an armed coup overthrew Chavez's elected government, but White House elation turned to sour grapes only 2 days later when the coup turned out to be a Keystone Cops effort and the people of Venezuela rallied to put their man Chavez back in his presidency. But this didn't stop the White House. Reams of internal documents have now surfaced showing a startling effort by the Bushites to undermine the legitimate government of Venezuela, a blatantly anti-democratic effort that, ironically, they rationalize by asserting that Chavez is not democratic enough to suit them. Last year alone, they funneled $1 million of our tax dollars into opposition groups seeking to overthrow Chavez and install Venezuela's moneyed class in power. One of the Bushites' documents claims that the future of Venezuelan democracy, quote, depends on the rebuilding of healthy and responsive political parties that can effectively channel citizen demands. This is Jim Hightower saying, hey, let's try to accomplish that here. If our own government reflected citizen demands, it wouldn't be messing with Venezuela.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
When you're the voice of reason, very few things get you excited. So you wouldn't expect something like a good price on a great copier to be one of them. But when the subject is a Xerox digital copier that delivers 35 quality pages a minute for a surprisingly low lease price of $134 a month and is so advanced it can be upgraded to scan, fax, and even email, well, that's enough to even make the voice of reason pick up the phone.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, friends. It's the Tom Hartman radio program defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. 7 minutes past the hour, the third hour of our Friday program here. Thank you for being with us and sticking around. I write regularly for... I usually first publish my pieces on a website called commondreams.org, and they're usually picked up on Alternet and BuzzFlash and whatnot. There's a great alternative media out there of just a remarkable set of websites that carry the news beyond the news, you know, the great commentaries and things. And of course, I read them as well as write for them. And one of the people who I think is one of the top four or five most articulate, on-point, really solid people who are regularly writing for these media is Heather, is it Wokush?
It's Wokush.
Wokush.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Heather.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much. And same right back at you.
I think you're just great. Originally from California, Heather now lives in Europe. You live in Austria, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. I do.
And that's where we're talking to you from. You have a background in clinical psychology and work as a freelance writer and cross-cultural trainer. And you just wrote a marvelous piece called Nuke Nation that was actually originally published in the Baltimore Chronicle, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's also in These Times.
Yeah.
Also.
And also on your website, which is... Heather Wokush, which is spelled WOKUSCH.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the White House is, like, up to something here with regard to nuclear power. What is it?
Well, yeah, I would say that's definitely true. The impetus for this article came because we just had the 25-year anniversary of the Three Mile Island reactor core meltdown. And what I was thinking as this anniversary was approaching is, okay, so, I mean, what exactly have we learned from this disaster that our country faced, and specifically what has happened in these last 4 years? And in doing research for this, it was so very disturbing. And for me, it raises interesting questions about why are we not talking about this as a country? Now, specifically for me, one of the most frightening things is that there is a plan. It's called Nuclear Power 2010. And if you put that into any search engine, you will come up to this document. It's a PDF file. Again, Nuclear Power 2010. And this is the Bush administration's plan to build 50 new U.S. reactors by 2020. I mean, we have like a little over 100 now.
And they're going to take how many billions of our tax dollars to subsidize this?
Oh, man. I mean, absolutely, absolutely. But, of course, also, it's not only subsidized. It's, you know, who gets to pay for the storage? Who gets to pay for the decommissioning? And also, given something called the Price Anderson Act,
yes.
It's the public that has to assume liability in case of an accident.
Who gets to pay for the insurance? It's you and me. Well,
that's exactly right. But also pay, you know, financially, but pay with our health. I mean, 50 new reactors, that's going to affect everybody who's listening to you right now. That's so, so major.
It's absolutely mind-boggling. You know, on the 25th anniversary is it 25 years? Three Mile
Island? That's right. Yeah, 1979.
The 25th anniversary. I remember going to the movie and seeing the China Syndrome just a couple weeks before that happened, and it was so weird. Anyway, the news media here did the obligatory 25-year thing, and they all basically, like a mantra, said there was no significant release of radiation at Three Mile Island. There was really no risk to the public, and this is about as bad as it gets, so I guess this means it's pretty safe.
Yeah, I think in these days of terrorism, that's really quite a naive perspective, you know, that they would say. Because if there were an airstrike, a truck bomb, as I said, even a grenade thrown into some kind of spent fuel pool, I mean, we're talking Armageddon. So our nuclear plants are really just targets for terrorism. And clearly, not only the irony, but just the sick part of this is we don't need to be investing in this. If we put our subsidies into renewable energies instead, then we wouldn't have to deal with this kind of thing.
Or conservation.
So, go ahead.
Or conservation.
Absolutely. Indeed. And so, you know, why are we in Iraq? Okay, we've got the oil. Now we're dealing with the nuclear. It's this coal, oil, nuclear, and gas. And so we really, as a country, need, before we start building 50 new nuclear reactors, clearly I believe the people should talk about this and be informed. But actually, many of the laws that the Bush administration have been pushing through here and there essentially eliminates public scrutiny. And that is a very dangerous part as well.
Yeah, you point out that one of the things that the Bush administration has begun pushing to replace government safety standards at federal mm-hmm. nuclear plants with requirements actually written by the contractors.
Yes, and insane.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, and this came because Congress insisted that the government should start fining contractors for the violations. So are we protecting our nuclear workers? Are we protecting the public? No, we're protecting Congress. You know, which I'm sorry, we're protecting these contractors, which is insane.
Right.
You know, right.
And who are the contractors? Who are the big companies that are the players in this business?
Well, I mean, they're all over the place. You know, there's each little community has separate contractors, and so we can't really say that there are one or two that are doing everything. You know, there are a bunch of different contractors available here that are working. You know, one other thing that I found, it's a bit separate, but what I found very interesting when I looked at this is that, for example, in H.R. 6, the energy bill from last year, renewable technologies were going to receive $6.4 billion in incentives. But then you look at who they define as renewables, and it's coal, oil, nuclear, and incinerators are included. And so even when we do give money to renewable technologies, frequently that's not what we're giving it for.
You know, I wrote a chapter about this in a book called Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. And back when I first wrote the book, which was in 96 or 97, they were having this energy fair down in Boston. Mm-hmm. And the energy industry was, you know, it was for the consumers. And, you know, this is wonderful what we're doing here. We're so great. We're all green. And the green energy that vendors. And you could actually, you know, pay an extra 2 cents a kilowatt hour or whatever and get green electricity. I mean, you could opt to do that. And the two kinds of green electricity that they were promoting were, number one, pump up, pump down, which is it's called stored hydro, mm-hmm. basically where you take electricity from some, you know, from the grid, and you use it to pump water up into a reservoir, and then when you need electricity, you let that water run down from the reservoir, and you spin a turbine. So you spend, you know, 1 million kilowatts to pump the water up, and when it flows back down, you get 700,000 kilowatts back, because of course there's losses, and then you can sell that as green, and you can sell it for a higher price. But you didn't use green power to pump it up in the first place. You know, it's like it's a shell game, right? There was that and nuclear, and they were calling nuclear green energy, and they were saying, you know, it's a free. It's friendly to the environment. And I'm thinking, you know, these guys have never been out west on some of the Native American, the Indian reservations where they mine this stuff and people are dying of radiation-related diseases and lung diseases, and they've got all these tailings and the land is left, unusable. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
And so, I mean, isn't that story that you just told, I mean, that's just insane, but it just goes on all the time. And to add something is this new satellite mapping techniques show that the Great Plains region could produce 3 times as much energy just in wind power as we consume. And so, I mean, clearly we should be looking at real green energy rather than, you know, this mockery that we do. But, you know, you also just mentioned this whole thing that the people are dealing with, you know, the radiation poison here in the States, but also, of course, we're sending our radiation poison to other countries in the form of depleted uranium. So this whole thing is just literally a crime.
Yeah.
And I really believe as a country we need to talk about, you know, energy rather than having it just spoon-fed to us as being correct when it's not.
Yeah. Dr. Helen Caldicott, who's a real pioneer in this area, made a great comment. This was about a year ago we were talking, and she said that it takes, as I recall, 18 years before a nuclear power plant produces its first watt of actual energy from nuclear power, because all of the energy that it takes, all of the oil that it takes to mine uranium ore and then to crush the rock and then refine out the uranium and then purify the uranium and then transport the uranium and then build the plant and then, and you know, when you add all of that up, It's 18 years before you're actually getting electricity from the plant out of uranium. All the rest of it is kind of converted from mostly from oil. And this is just
right.
not...
But when you add that up, it's billions and billions of immediate profit for, to a very large extent, people who contributed heavily to the Bush-Cheney presidential campaign.
Yeah.
And so are we looking at short-term profit? Are we looking at long-term energy, you know, renewability? I guess that is another question that we have to look at. But also, you know, of course, Bush has been very much pushing to increase the number or the level of nuclear weaponry in addition. And so that's also so frightening. I mean, the country right now has 10,000 nuclear warheads in storage. But right now the Energy Secretary just asked Congress to approve $30 million to fund the construction of a new nuclear bomb factory to produce like 500 new nuclear bombs each year. Why on earth do we need this?
Yeah. Well, why do we need them? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think it increases corporate profits for companies that, you know, maybe have donated heavily to the Bush-Cheney thing. But it also goes back to this whole, you know, PNAC approach to the universe. He who has the biggest stick somehow wins.
Yes.
Or he who dies with the most toys wins, you know.
Yeah, my guess would be that what that factory is going to build is tactical nukes, you know, because we haven't built many of them. And these small what they call battlefield nuclear weapons, which is nuclearizing conventional warfare, which is as dangerous and as insane a step as the similar insanity that the Bush administration perpetrated with the Bush doctrine of preemptive war. You know, 227 years in this nation, the Gulf of Tonkin resolution was a sham, but we had never openly said to the world, "Hey, look out, guys, we're going to get you if we don't like you." It's just,
right.
And now China is saying, "Hey, you know, we like that Bush doctrine, and Taiwan, you better pay attention." And,
Of course. And I mean, did we vote on this? Did we say, "Well, yes, this doctrine is okay with me"? I mean, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yet somehow this is the policy of our country. I mean, that just has smoke coming out of my ears.
Yes. Well, we've got about a minute left here, Heather. Give us your website again and tell us what we can do. What can we as citizens do about this?
Well, about the nuclear power issue, I think just get involved. You know, go the www.nrc.gov is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. You know, ask questions. Find out if anything is going to be built in your community. Push to have the Bush administration rejoin, you know, for example, the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty and other non-proliferation agreements is one thing. You know, another thing I wanted to just quickly add later, I don't know if you realize, but you know the latest, the Spanish government change, you know, that they kicked out Aznar, their friend of Bush.
Yeah.
Do you know that actually it was an independent left-wing radio station that pretty much, orchestrated a lot of that happening?
Oh, that's interesting. You know, it just occurred to me, you're living in Europe.
Yeah.
I'd like to hold you, if you can hold on over this break, we'll have five minutes after this break. I'd like to get your take on what Europeans are thinking of Americans.
And if
anybody has any questions for Heather, 1-866-889-8894. It's a Tom Hartman radio program. Stick around. We'll be right back.
In my country, a group of religious extremists are reshaping the government to promote their own agenda and morality.
The government can keep a list of everyone I call, and they do not need a judge's permission.
Our citizens are seized and held in prison without being charged of a crime, without the right to a trial, and without a lawyer. Why should you care about what is happening to my country? Because my country is the United States of America.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. It's clinically effective. Formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of Carbo Blocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value, absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The founding fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report.
A recent report prepared by the Democratic staff of the U.S. House Education and Workforce Committee hangs the most solid number yet on the hidden costs of shopping at Walmart. The committee figures each Walmart store with a staff of 200 or more puts a $420,750 burden on local federal taxpayers for social services costs. These would include housing, education, energy, and tax benefits awarded to workers like those at Walmart who are not paid a living wage and for the most part do not have health insurance.
Setting up a radio station? Wondering what software to use? Listen to the words of Mike Chandler of WOBS in Florida talking about the Tune Tracker system.
I love the software. I mean, it is rock solid. It has not burped one single time. This thing has not stopped. And I tell you, I've got some software that I run at two of my other radio stations that cost tons and tons more. One I paid, I think, $1,500 for it. And then one system, which was the Arrakis DigiLink system, I paid $15,000 for it. But this rivals my $15,000 system.
As Mike Chandler said, the Tune Tracker system is rock solid. And the price? Only $349.95 for the pro version with traffic interface and only $149.95 for the original Tune Tracker 2. Either way, you'll have a radio automation system that performs like systems costing thousands more. For more information, go to our website, www.tunetrackersystems.com. www.tunetrackersystems.com.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, Defending America from the Conservative Weapons of Mass Deception. We're talking with Heather Vogush. Vogush. It's Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, W-O-K-U-S-C-H.com. And if you can't remember that, you can go to commondreams.org and just scroll down to the very bottom of the page, and she's listed as one of the contributors there, and click on her name, and boom, you'll get right to her website. How's that for a quick and dirty way of getting it? Heather, tell us how are Europeans viewing America now?
First of all, though, with your ad for Unequal Protection, I also want to say that's just a terrific book, and congratulations to you. That's a fantastic book.
Thank you.
In relation to that, they pretty much uniformly just think Bush is just a complete disaster, and many people have this, like, ABB, anybody but Bush, and so to a certain extent, people are throwing their hat behind Kerry, although many people...
Now, you're talking about Americans who are living overseas?
No, I'm talking about Europeans. But they also are a bit concerned about Kerry. But as far as, for example, there was a recent AP poll, and one of the questions was, do you have a negative opinion of what is your opinion of the role that Bush plays in world affairs?
This was a poll
Britain,
done
in... Two-thirds were negative.
Two-thirds.
In France, 80% negative. Germany, 80% negative. In the United States, it was 50% positive, 57% positive.
Yeah.
So clearly there is a difference in perception here.
There's a disconnect. It's extraordinary. It was Democracy Now. Amy Goodman produced a really interesting piece. In fact, I moderated a discussion panel here in Vermont about 2 weeks ago around this 30-minute movie that she did, where she compared the coverage of CNN International during the invasion of Iraq with CNN Domestic. And on CNN International, they were literally showing the bodies of civilians. They were showing little kids, you know, with burns all over their bodies and, you know, on IV tubes in the hospitals scrambling to take care of people. And on CNN Domestic, here in the United States, they were showing absolutely none of that.
Well, actually, as one who sees CNN International, I can say that it really wasn't that profound. I mean, to the most part, it was just, you know, interviews with embedded journalists, and the amount of coverage that should have been done was really radically not done. Now, if you were to compare CNN Domestic with BBC, then that would have been an even greater comparison. But even then, it wasn't enough. But I can say that, for example, the media over here, definitely, you saw pictures of, you know, burned children. I mean, if you see this kind of thing, then clearly your opinion is going to be very different about it. Absolutely. The media is very important, involved in this.
Right. Now, in Europe, nuclear power is still a pretty big thing. I mean, my recollection is it's been 20 years since I lived there, but France at the time that I was living there was getting something like 70% or 80% of their electricity from nuclear power.
You lived in France? I don't know.
No, I lived in Germany, actually, but you know, it's the next country over, and quite proud of it, actually, the French were. What's the perception of nuclear power like over there?
The perception of nuclear power is not positive right now. I mean, clearly there are nuclear reactors, but many tend to be in, for example, these accession countries, these new countries that will be joining the EU. And in the older European countries, I guess you could say, there is a bit of concern about safety issues and things of that nature. And so there is, you know, clearly nuclear power is used over here, but there is something of a rather concerted push to get away from it.
So even the French are rethinking it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, remarkable. Okay, great. Heather, thank you very much for being with us today. Heather.
Well, thank you.
Vokuch?
Yeah, that's right.
Vokuch.com. HeatherVokuch.com. And thanks for the great work. Keep writing those marvelous columns, Heather.
And same to you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
On December 10th, the Bush administration joined 45 states, warning Americans not to eat fish with high mercury levels that can cause birth defects and learning disabilities. But days later, the administration said it wanted to give power plants permission to shower more mercury onto our lakes and streams for 10 years longer than the law allows. Sound fishy? Mr. President, there's a better way to strengthen the State of the Union. Protect us, not the polluters who contributed to your campaign. Enforce the Clean Air Act.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
4 years ago, the U.S. Department of Energy created a special program to compensate workers at federal nuclear facilities who may have been exposed to health-damaging radiation on the job. 4 years later, with some 22,000 applications for aid received and tens of millions of dollars spent on the system, a little more than 300 workers have received any contact from the Department of Energy, and only one check's been cut. At a Senate Energy Committee hearing this week, it was revealed the private contractor in charge of the nuclear worker compensation program charges twice as much for its services as it would cost the government to do the work itself. At present, the DOE spends $1 million a month on this particular contract.
As the Labor Department prepares to implement rule changes stripping overtime pay for as many as 8 million Americans, Illinois state lawmakers want nothing to do with the plan. The state legislature just sent the governor legislation blocking any changes to federal rules governing overtime pay for white-collar workers. And Wednesday, the AFL-CIO held a protest outside a Bush fundraiser in Washington, D.C. Kathy Stobird is a nurse in Pittsburgh who spoke at the demonstration.
President Bush's policy
seeks to end overtime pay will devastate the nursing profession by driving even more nurses out of hospitals, which will ultimately cause a patient care crisis in this country.
The Office of Management and Budget is currently reviewing the Bush administration's final overtime regulations and could approve them any day now.
Turbulent skies again for U.S. Airways. Less than a year out of bankruptcy, airline executives have told the workforce the company may go into Chapter 11 again unless it can cut costs by another $1 billion a year to compete with no-frills airlines. These would be on top of $1 billion a year worth of concessions union employees already committed to as part of the bankruptcy process. U.S. Airways pilots and mechanics unions this week called the proposals unacceptable and may lead a drive to call for the resignation of senior airline management.
Irish workers can breathe a little easier this week now that the government has issued Western Europe's first national ban on all workplace smoking. Pub owners are complaining about lost business due to relocated weddings and conferences, but polls are showing approximately 80% of Irish people support the ban.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. If you hear President Bush tout his federal budget plan for next year as an achievement in his campaign, don't believe the hype. The Economic Policy Institute took a close look at the Bush budget and noted there are numerous funding increases in politically sensitive areas that, if Bush gets another term, are slated to take cuts that will offset their election year windfalls. A good example is the Department of Education. It stands to see a funding gain of more than 2% next year, then would face an average 1% cut in funding for the next four.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. A beautiful rainy day here in the People's Republic of Vermont. Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, and streaming around the planet from radiopower.org, a web radio station worthy of your support. Radiopower.org. Push the contribute button. Check it out. So much going on. I have a letter here from Ralph Nader. The White House is up to undermining chemical tests. Interesting what Alcoa is doing with regard to carbon dioxide. Lots of stuff. 1-866-889-8894 if you'd like to be on the program Friday afternoon. Anything you want to talk about is fine. And we'd be glad to take your calls and we can just, you know, kick things around, or I can share some of these things with you. I think there's some real significant issues here. Todd in Chicago's on the line. Hey, Todd, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, it is so nice to talk to you. I'm behind one day on the shows because I download from White Rose Society, which I support.
White Rose Society does an absolutely wonderful job of archiving this program, and they also are listener-supported and worthy of your support, and I encourage people to push the contribute button there, too, if they're listening to the program at whiterosesociety.org.
Absolutely, spreading the good word, and, yep. And it keeps me in tune because we don't have you in Chicago here yet, so it's a great way to listen. Since I'm a day behind, I don't know what your issues today. I've had this topic on my mind that I can't get answered by anybody. I understand privatization and basically the premise behind it, and it's greed-driven, I definitely feel. But I don't understand exactly how these privatizations of jails, I don't understand the privatizations of jails. Who's profiting? How does it work?
Well, the largest corporation in America, the Corrections Corporation of America, CCA, I believe is owned by Marriott. Which is a little ironic. If CCA isn't owned by Marriott, then they compete with a corporation that's owned by Marriott, because Marriott's either the first or the second largest of the private prison corporations. And basically their thing is, you know, they're doing it cheaper, and it's interesting. Here in Vermont, we have it was just an article about this in the paper last week. I think it's something like about 500 prisoners that we've had to send out of state because our prisons are all full. And, you know, with all these drug laws and whatnot, it's about half of all your prisoners are in jail for drug laws. And,
maddening.
And hopefully Rush Limbaugh will... wake up and join the let's have some rational. But anyway, that's
there's some justice, right?
Yeah. But what they're finding is that they've shipped a lot of these people out of state to these private prisons, in part because
who's
it's cheaper.
For the prisons?
We are. The taxpayers of Vermont are paying for the people who go into these prisons, and we pay on a per day basis, as a per diem, and they they charge more or less about what it would cost for the state to run the prison. The thing is that so many states are facing such a shortage of space right now because of all the minimum mandatory sentencing, three strikes,
okay,
shot laws,
things
like that.
Okay, I think you answered my question. These private jails are still being paid for by tax dollars.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so it really doesn't really... See, that's where it loses me. Do you see any benefit in that?
Well, no, ultimately. I mean, here's my concern about it, actually. And that is that we as a society, say we define our rules, we define our laws in the context of what's going to be ultimately in the best interest of our society.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to create the kind of quality of life and the kind of quality of the type of world into which we want to bring our children and in which we want to live? And people who are in prison, in most cases, are going to get out. And, hopefully, I mean, certainly there is some element of punishment to imprisonment, but there also needs to be, there must be, a significant element of rehabilitation, or those people
Absolutely.
Are simply going to be recidivists. They're going to end up back in jail again. And so when government being an institution which we collectively create and which we say, okay, the purpose of this government is to serve us. It's to meet the needs as we define them. And we decide what those are through electing representatives who vote on things. And yes, I know it's been corrupted by money and corporations, but that's a whole other discussion. But the theory here anyway is that the purpose of government is to protect the commons and provide for the quality of life that we want. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as it were. And
right.
So we can say, we are going to run a prison, and we are going to actually rehabilitate people. Now, it might cost us $60 a day to do that, for example. I mean, I'm just pulling numbers out of the air. I don't know
right.
what prison costs are. But it's $60 a day to do that with rehabilitation and competent people who are and a low turnover rate among the guards so that we know we have good, high-quality people, give them, allow them to join a union or be civil servants, part of the civil service system, hold them accountable. Quality prison may sound like an oxymoron, but we can produce that. When a private corporation comes along and says, okay, we're going to go into the prison business,
right.
their mission statement has
cutting
to be,
cost.
Well, to a large extent, it has to be, how do we
the
maximize
business,
profit?
Right.
How do we maximize profit? And back, it's funny, back, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, I used to do a lot of teaching, a lot of training on corporate communications and stuff. And Marriott had this deal where if you were a Marriott stockholder, you got a 10% discount. And so I bought one share of Marriott stock. It cost like $22. And I still have it, and I get these. In fact, it's turned into 2.5 shares now over the last 15 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, I'm a big-time stockholder here. In fact, they send me these 7-cent checks about every 6 months. Seriously. And that 7 cents, I only have to pay 15% tax on, and there's no payroll tax. But anyhow,
absolutely right on. Yeah.
So but the point is that they have to, if they're going to run a prison out of the revenue from that prison, they've got to send me that 7 cents. And of course, those guys who own millions of shares of Marriott, they've got to send them millions of dollars, and so the fundamental notion of a for-profit corporation being able to do something less expensively, ultimately, when you figure in all the costs, than government, doesn't make sense, assuming that the government is well-managed. It just doesn't make sense. Now, this is the area where I think historically a lot of conservatives, and for that matter a lot of liberals, a lot of people who are concerned about the way that government has been run, the fact that we're spending $145 billion a year on corporate welfare, the fact that, it costs $3 a barrel or a bushel to grow corn, but we're selling it for $2 because we're subsidizing these huge
right.
agribusiness. There's plenty of... finger pointing that can go around. I mean, we can say, hey, you know, government is not working the way it should. And yes, there are those areas that need to be fixed, and a lot of them, most, you know, the pork barrel politics and all that. But the bottom line, when you get right down to it, ultimately, is the conservative agenda is corporations operating on a for-profit basis, taking over our commons. And those of us who believe in democracy and who believe that there are some things that really, ultimately, we want to have control of, we the people,
right.
Think that that's just a mistake. I think our prison system is one of those.
And should be in charge. You know, and it just, you know, you've given me a good explanation that tied up some knots that were loose ends to me, but still, the more that I understand it, the more absurd it seems.
What you got to get is that the main agenda of the corporate conservatives is to privatize the commons. If it's something that we collectively own and they can get their hands on it, you know, whether it's for example, the water privatization, you know, it was a disaster in Atlanta. It was Enron was going to privatize the Everglades before they went bankrupt. They'd cut a deal with Jeb Bush, you know, and on it goes. They down in Bolivia when one of the big corporations, a big donor to Bush and Reagan, went down there, Bechtel Corporation, and owned a large part of a corporation that privatized the water, and they made it so that people had to buy permits to collect rainwater off their own roofs, because, you know, hey, it's the commons and we own it now, and this is a dangerous path that we're treading down in privatization of water.
Of course, it is. It's very dangerous. I agree.
Yeah. So anyhow, I hope I've answered your questions.
I really appreciate that, and it was very nice talking to you. I don't know if you've talked about these 11,000 papers that 75% aren't being turned over.
I did. Yeah, in our first hour.
That's just maddening to me. So anyway, Tom, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I'm proud of the word liberal and Democrat. And I'm a strong believer that we can make a difference within our party. I know you're an independent, but I respect most everything that you say, and keep going. You're a light shining in this pretty dark country right now.
Okay, thank you, Todd. I appreciate it. I appreciate your kind words. Which brings us to Ralph Nader's open letter. Maybe we should. I should pick this up next week and give it a little more play. But here, Ralph Nader writes this letter. He says the electoral system in our country is rigged in many ways against third parties and independent candidates having a level playing field chance to compete. Like, you know, he just figured this out. Say, hey, Ralph, wait a second. But it's not that the electoral system in our country is rigged against third parties. It's that the electoral system in our country was designed before John Stuart Mill had invented in the 1840s, 1850s, the idea of proportional representation. It was designed basically to only work if there were no political parties, which is how it was originally set up, which is why you had this situation where Thomas Jefferson was the vice president under John Adams when they hated each other. And Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr ended up, you know, it was designed from the get-go not to have political parties. And James Madison in Federalist Number 10 goes into this long screed about how we can't afford to have factions. Factions, they'll destroy America if we have factions. Please don't create factions. Of course, he was talking about political parties. And the reason why they were concerned was because they got it. That if there were, if factions formed, and there were factions already forming back then, you had the Federalists who then reincarnated as the Whigs, who then reincarnated as the Republicans, and then you had the Democratic Republicans who dropped the word Republican from their name in the 1830s and to this day are known as the Democrats, the oldest party in history, political party, literally, in the history of the world. And they got it that with a winner-take-all, first-past-the-post system, which we have, you can only have two political parties. Otherwise, if a third party comes in, they're going to harm the party that they're most closely aligned with, which is not going to accomplish the will of the people, as it were. And so the way, Ralph, that we have to deal with this situation is by infiltrating the political parties. And this is what the conservatives figured out 30 years ago. When Barry Goldwater went down in flames in 1964, 40 years ago, when Barry Goldwater went down in flames, the conservatives, well, by that time, actually, they'd already hijacked much of the Republican Party. It was really in the 1950s that this effort began to infiltrate and take over one of the two major political parties. And progressives in America, in my opinion, have two choices. And I think that we should be doing both at the same time. One is to work for instant runoff voting, which would, because we're not going to get proportional representation in the United States, because, you know, it would require such a huge amendment of the Constitution. It's not going to happen. You have to call another constitutional convention. But instant runoff voting, where you can vote for your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, your fourth choice for a particular office, effectively does the same thing. It allows third-party candidates to come in, and they don't hurt the people that they're most closely aligned with. And if you're, you know, without going into a long explanation of it, if you're curious about it, plug instant runoff voting into Google. You know, you'll get back everything you ever wanted to know about it. And so, number one, we need to work for instant runoff voting at all levels. And this is something that the Green Party is very committed to and is doing all across the United States. And literally hundreds of communities, towns, cities, counties, have enacted instant runoff voting laws. And there are several states, Arizona being among them, where they're actually working very hard to get instant runoff voting at the state level. The entire country of Australia adopted this about 15 years ago. Works marvelously for them. The other thing that we can do, and this is what I think is, you know, really, really vital, is infiltrate the Democratic Party. The conservatives have. It's called the Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC. Look out. The DLC Democrats are Republican light. They are the DLC. The whole thing of Bill Clinton starting this DLC thing back in '92 was, let's get corporate money into the Democratic Party because there's just not enough money with the unions. Let's bring in the corporate bucks that the Republicans have been getting all these years. And so, well, we have to pay them back. We'll sign the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and we got to pay them back. We'll push through NAFTA and GATT. And we got to pay, and in all kinds of ways, they paid back their donors. Now, they weren't as horrific about it as the Republicans have been, you know, gutting environmental laws and things. They still understand where their base is and play to it to some extent. But still, the DLC Democrats, in my opinion, are a threat to the Democratic Party and to the democratic process. And I think that if progressives want to have a voice in America, we need to infiltrate the Democratic Party, join it, show up for meetings, participate, get out there and get active and push hard for candidacies or run for office for that matter. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program. Liz in Nashville's on. Hey, Liz, what's up?
Well, I was just calling about the Corrections Corp call you took earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for Corrections Corp for 6 years, and you guys are totally off base.
Okay, tell me about it.
I've never worked with such a group of caring people. They offer more opportunities for prison rehabilitation. You have professional people. The advantage to it is our government isn't going to have to pay all this employment costs, retirement costs, all this other stuff that's associated with staffing all these people in a prison.
In other words, you're not going to get a pension.
No, you're going to get a pension, but it's going to be funded by a private company and not by.
Well, then our government's going to pay for your.
Then
our government's going to pay for your pension.
Huh?
If you're getting a pension from CCA, who's paying for it?
You're putting into a 401k plan. You're not just getting a free ticket from all the taxpayers.
Yeah, right. And where did that money come from that you put into that 401k plan?
It came from your own earnings.
And where did those earnings come from?
The same amount that the governments were going to pay to even build that building and maintain the
building.
Okay,
so those earnings came from government funds, right?
The prisons are, most of the prisons in the United States are falling down. You don't have a tax base that says, hey, do I want to pay for better schools or do I want to pay to repair this prison?
Yeah, I agree, Liz. We've got a big infrastructure problem. I absolutely agree. Thanks for the call. It's Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is a small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed, or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now. 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
Ski resorts could be left high and dry in a warmer climate. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. If forecasts for global warming are correct, many of Europe's most popular ski resorts are likely to go bankrupt in the next few decades. That's according to a report presented in December at the World Conference on Sport and Environment. The report says the ski season will grow shorter and the snow line will move higher into the mountains. In Switzerland, as many as 60% of all ski resorts could close in the next 30 to 50 years. One researcher says the scenario is not quite so bleak in North America. Daniel Scott is a geographer at the University of Waterloo in Ontario, and he studies recreation and tourism. He says ski resorts in eastern North America will face warming temperatures and less snow, but he says they're better equipped than European resorts to deal with the problem.
In Europe, they don't have the sort of extensive snowmaking systems that we do have here in eastern North America, where every ski area has almost 100% coverage of their skiable terrain in snowmaking.
Scott says snowmaking is not as widespread at resorts in western states and provinces, and it's not clear how they'll deal with warmer winters. Scott says resorts that try to compensate for a shortage of natural snow will see expenses go up.
They'll have to make more snow, which will have costs associated with it. I think the average ski area in the Northeast is something like $750,000 U.S. a year. So it's a substantial, you know, amount of money. And if you're doubling the amount of snow that you have to make, well, your costs go up accordingly.
Scott says the news about Europe's ski resorts has drawn a lot of attention, and many resort owners are now looking at their abilities to weather environmental change. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
and common sense in broadcasting. What a refreshing idea. Common sense. Liz, thanks for that call. I'm sorry we ran up against the bumper and had to end it. But I get your point that the benefit is cheap labor. You know, here's the thing. There are two things that created the middle class in the United States. And one is that the unions were defining a basic wage by negotiating with employers. And that union wage became the benchmark against which everybody else basically had to pay. And those unions had infiltrated government. Government is largely unionized. And so government workers have fairly high union wages. And the second was the minimum wage laws and worker protection laws. And, of course, those, by the 1960s and 1970s, the minimum wage had become pretty irrelevant because it hadn't been increased, and so it became worth less and less and less. And this administration, the whole conservative agenda, is destroy the unions and destroy the minimum wage law. And the bottom line, ultimately, is forget about a livable wage. We're going to end up with a situation where people will work desperately for whatever we pay them. And yes, corporations can get cheaper labor than government right now. Is that a good thing for the United States? Do we really want to devastate the middle class in the United States? Do we really want to? The middle class is not a normal phenomena in countries. If you look at the thousand-year history of, quote, free markets, you find that they always produce very rich people and a lot of very, very, very poor, hardworking people. And the middle class is this strange thing that we created in this country. And anyhow, 1-866-889-8894, James in Indianapolis. James, you've got just about a minute. What's up?
Hi. I just wanted to say I couldn't agree more with what you were saying earlier about taking back the Democratic Party.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think we saw a start to that with the Howard Dean campaign in the primary here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I sort of see that sort of dying down a little. We're losing a little momentum.
I agree. And we need to pick it back up. James, I got to go. It's the end of the show. But thanks for the call. And you know, call back next week. We'll continue the conversation. You too, Liz. If you want, I'd love to hear from you again. Thanks to Louise for producing the show today. Thanks to the folks in our chat room for showing up. Thanks to Brad Walrod for editing our music. And thanks to you for listening. See you next Monday. Same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing.